everybody. It's Boss Barrel Radio, the Game of the Year 2014 discussions. I am Griff Hoffman, and with me is Jeff Brewer.
How's it going?
And Jamie Dargan Aj. Sure.
When do we get beads? Is this like one of those holidays where we get beads?
Mm-hmm. Jamie, let me tell you something about reverse mortgages. You may have heard a lot of bad things. But they're free cash, basically. There's no consequences.
Oh, that's just like, what Montel told me. Montel told me that, and he was lying. He's a dirty liar.
I take my reverse mortgage and I turn it into gold.
House for gold.
House for gold.
It's my God.
Unstable market.
We have a new service. We sold what about, old white people everywhere.
What about gold for house?
That's a played out. Way too played out.
Yeah, come on. That's ridiculous.
Also super Jewy. I mean, come on. Who's our audience here?
That's right. I allow you guys to make Jew jokes. Without me, you'd literally be arrested right now.
This would actually just turn into a Palestinian territory without you, Jamie. That's what happens.
Exactly.
What are we doing here, Griffin?
Games!
We're talking about games.
We never do that.
They're all right.
Yeah.
Some superlatives in games, I understand, is the...
Can we have a category? I submit for your consideration a new category, most all right game 2014.
All right. I think we might run into some just all right games through the discussion of these categories. As before, we best Boss Barrel Radio meme of 2014. Is that going to be a category? At least three nominees to make a category.
It'll be Watch Dogs, Griffin and Jamie arguing.
Jeff and Jamie arguing.
Juddergate.
I have new information, damn it.
No! I'm sure you do. It's the most meaningless argument.
It is. It's so academic.
What are Snowden thoughts on Judder? Has he leaked anything?
He's silent on it. He doesn't want to get caught up in this shitstorm.
Yeah, he recognizes a sinkhole when he sees one.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, let's kick this off. We have categories we're going to talk about. And awards, two runners-up with one winner. And we'll start out here with the highly controversial category, Demo of the Year.
Remember when we got games during a year instead of demos?
What was that like?
That was a fun time. ask your parents about this one, kids.
the nominees in this category are the Destiny Alpha and Beta, Smash,
Gamma?
Super Smash Brothers for 3DS.
Shots fired.
Broken Age Part 1? I think that's what it's called. PT and Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes.
Can I just comment on how Broken Age is such an apt title for a game that was broken into two parts?
Totally. Yep. Should have seen that one coming. Tim should.
No.
Elijah Wood.
Really, really only occurred to me now, so I'm pretty much just behind the curve.
Well, any strong feelings on any of these nominees here?
I played PT with my dad, he got scared, and then he had to sleep with the lights on. So it's probably PT.
Did you snuggle with him?
Yeah. We sleep in the same bed, man. You don't sleep in the same bed with your dad?
We don't live together anymore, so sadly I can't. Only when he comes
to man. I'm sorry. But seriously, I really liked PT. It was beautiful. It was scary as shit. And it's probably better than the game's going to be. So.
But PT was so repetitive. You had to do the things.
Yeah, and this category is so ironic that almost it works too well, Jamie. Like, it's actually making a good case for it being a good game or demo this year.
I feel like the first, 15 minutes of PT were amazing. And then if you tried to go any farther, it was like, nope.
Why did you play past 15 minutes?
Well, I didn't.
Good.
I got to the one. About, yeah.
But go on.
I got to the one really scary part, and then I was like, okay, I got through it.
Yeah, but what was that really scary part?
When you see a face? When the lady knocks you over, and you
did you see? On. Did you get to a refrigerator baby. Hanging from a chandelier?
I got to a baby in a sink.
You did not see the refrigerator hanging from the chandelier?
No.
Then you don't even know, man.
But I have to put in like another hour to get.
You don't even know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I got to none of those things, and
I got to the refrigerator
pretty,
swinging.
Pretty boring.
I got to the refrigerator swinging from chandelier in a solid 30 minutes because my dad got too scared to watch it.
Oh.
Although I knew what to do, I'll say that.
You read a walkthrough for PT.
I watched Patrick Klepek play the first couple minutes, and without him, I wouldn't have known that you have to I think you have to press R3 or something.
Yeah,
at some
really
point.
Weird. There's some weird interaction button.
Yeah. So
I love how the reveal in the end is that guy from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
For no reason. Nobody wanted him.
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him.
I guess not. It was just really funny.
Better him than T-Bake, honestly.
Yeah, I guess so.
Some fresh meat, please.
Can't believe you're saying that, Griffin.
What's that?
That you're sick of Troy Baker.
I'm not sick of him. I'm just saying maybe change it up.
Has he aged out for you? He's too old now?
He is, yeah. He's he's ripened.
Turned 27. That's too much.
Yuck. Ugh.
Okay, so you like PT, Jamie. I don't know where to fall on this one. Is Smash 3DS a serious contender here as a demo?
No, I mean,
okay, good.
Yeah, obviously, it's just
it's a little snark,
just a shot across the bow of Nintendo for making a smart decision.
You little stinker! How do you strike through in today's Google Docs?
There's a thing in there. I think it's under format, but I put it on there because I think we didn't talk about it in any other situation, and. You know, it outsold the Wii U version of Smash. It's pretty damn good from what you guys are saying. I played the demo of it, had a great time. And I don't know. Like, I think it's going to go unnoticed because the Wii U version is more visible to critics.
Yep.
But
I think so. Yeah. I think
here's why.
Here's why
you can't win. Here's why. Because I am a Nintendo Platinum member since 2011.
You don't want them to take that away.
I deserved my copy of that demo with everyone else, and I did not get it, and I called Nintendo, and they said, we're going to give it to you, and then they didn't, and I called them back, and then they sent me an email, and it was very rude, and for that reason, they cannot win.
Can I tell you how I got my demo, Jamie?
How?
I watched an episode of Sup Holmes. And I got it from Jonathan Holmes' paper.
Listen, I was already jealous of you because you had a demo. You just made me more jealous. A lot more.
That demo means a lot now.
Did you take the demo out of the box?
I took the demo out of the box. I'm a fool.
It's worthless now. Throw that shit away.
I'm not taking... When Pitt arrives, guys, I'm not taking him out of the box. He's going to be the first one.
We'll get to that later, Jeff. Hold your horses.
I'm gonna fight hard for that one.
Oh man, does that need to be a category?
I don't know. We'll get there.
Okay.
So Destiny Alpha Beta. Can we all agree that
is the absolute winner?
Was the good one.
The winner,
and the Alpha was the lame one. They're the same thing.
Yeah, they really were.
But
I think I put that on there because I think that wins. I think that it was the most people's experience of Destiny. It was also like that like coming over the hump and looking over the valley of like, oh god, this is actually all there is to this. Like, you go up to the mountaintop and you're like, oh, nothing else here, this is just gonna be what this game is. But had a great time playing it. And then just how easily it was distributed, the bizarre changes that were made in it, and like the Peter Dinklage nonsense that was going down. Hate. I think it was yeah, like the you know, everybody hating on the voice for the robot thing.
They made some t-shirts about that.
Sure did. I don't know. I think it was the best. I think it was it deserves the award for quote unquote demo of the year.
What about how do you guys feel about Ground Zeroes?
I think Ground Zeroes is both too good and too bad to win this award.
If only it were like $5 or $10 instead of $30 at launch.
Yeah.
Now it's $6.80, but I still haven't bought it.
You should buy it at that price. I think it's fun at that price, honestly. I think it's big enough to be worth $6.80.
I just don't. Metal Gear without the story has no hold for me.
Totally.
That's fair.
And I've always just liked experience stuff. The best part of it by just watching the end cutscene. Like, that's it.
But doesn't that, I mean, can't you experience the best part? I mean, by that logic, can't you say, like, all Metal Gear games, you can just watch the cutscenes? I mean, I feel like the gameplay is inherently enjoyable. No. I feel like the gameplay in this one is inherently enjoyable.
Yeah, but I don't think it has those, like, Metal Gear solid moments of, like, crazy boss fights. It doesn't have, like, the weird, weirdy things in it. It's actually kind of gross with some of the direction it went in.
This is very true. Oh, God, yes.
And did you see that part where that guy's leg clipped through Snake? Ugh. Repulsive.
That was. I just watched a great mod video where Chico is rescuing Snake.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. It's so good.
But here's the thing: in terms of building hype, I mean, that game built hype like crazy. Even though it was not really necessarily worth $30.
No. Did it build hype? I feel like it built hype for you, but it didn't. It certainly didn't build hype for me.
Listen, I'm everyone. Did
people talk about it a lot? It didn't seem to me making, even on NeoGAF, I don't remember seeing much about it. I could be just, maybe I overlooked it because I wasn't playing it, but I don't remember it making waves. But that's probably not a reason for it
of listening to the tracks of the internet, I think that, you know, it affected all of us differently. Jeff, you liked it. I thought it was kind of crappy. And Jamie, you weren't interested enough to play it, which does speak volumes about Metal Gear for you.
Yeah, are you a true fan or not? okay, fine. I understand. I think I would probably crown it if it weren't for the price, honestly. But I'm willing to let it slide because it's so expensive, or it was so expensive. Okay. I think the $30 really made it a bitter pill, so I'm okay with not crowning it. But I'd like it to be represented personally.
All right. Okay. I'm okay with that. I mean, that just means we got to drop one off of these. So that comes down to Broken Age, part one.
Yeah, drop
that. Haven't said
off.
Anything about.
Drop that. And if it were me, I'm going to posit this solution. And you guys can say what you want. I'm going to posit that. So I did have a lot of fun with the Destiny beta. Mm-hmm. And it actually made me think that I might like it for a hot minute. So I'm okay. I would be okay with Destiny beta winning, and then we have two others, right? So then PT and Metal Gear. What do you guys think?
I like the sound of that.
I'm all right with that. And we're cutting
Take
Broken Age because Broken Age is just doesn't
a demo
hang
and
with those other two.
Yeah,
I don't think it's fair to call it. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's also kind of like the Smash joke where it's you know.
I think of the three of us, I probably was the most underwhelmed by Broken Age, is fair guess.
Yeah, I did enjoy Broken Age.
It felt like a demo to me. It was real short, and there wasn't a lot of meat. I really liked the story going on with the lady. She had a good story, but man, that, I don't know.
Yeah. So I think that I'm with you 100%. What's funny is that I think that watching, because I watched those things they put out for it, that documentary.
Yeah.
I think watching the documentary actually softened the blow a lot because you realize like what they're talking about like so much are like things that you don't even care about. Like when this character turns to the left, like should his left eyebrow raise or not? And it's when you realize that they're thinking about things like that, when the game is 3 hours long, you're like, all right, at least you got the eyebrow thing down.
I think that might just make me more mad.
Let's call it an early day, guys.
I mean,
we can raise the eyebrow.
Sorry, guys. What'd you say?
Griff made a funny eyebrow joke.
I got it, but you go.
Oh, okay. I'll get it in post.
Yep. I'll edit you in laughing hysterically.
I was gonna say I'm not like mad about Broken Age, really. I mean, it's a little ridiculous that it didn't turn out that well. But no, I just wasn't that crazy about it. But you guys really liked it, so I think it is. I mean, it's not fair to call that game a demo.
Yeah, I agree.
So cool. This is good. We did it.
Yeah, we did.
One down.
Woo!
Excellent. So yeah, demo of the year, Destiny, the Alpha and the Beta.
The Alpha and the Omega.
And the Gamma.
All right, so that brings us to the next category. We have listed here best game from a prior generation that has been changed enough to differentiate it from the original, but still acknowledging it was already released award or best port award.
Does this exist just to highlight the sheer number of ports that occurred this year? Because this is by far not an exhaustive list.
It only exists just because I wanted to write those words onto a page.
Oh, just like, okay. I see. Okay.
I feel good now.
So really, the nominees don't matter.
No, not at all. The winner is me.
I'll make my pitch that no one will vote for first, mm-hmm. and I'll say Last of Us because I've played a little bit of it, and it just looks so good, and I can't justify it in any other way because nothing else has changed, but it just looks so good.
I think you're just saying The Last of Us was a really good game.
Yes, I am, but I'm also saying that it looks substantially better.
Okay, but doesn't it also comes with the DLC and its upgraded frame rate, isn't it?
Yeah, 60 frames per second, which makes a huge difference. It feels a lot, it like feels more gamey.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But I think that there are some gameplay options that I haven't explored yet or something, but you're right. It comes with a DLC. It looks gorgeous. It's the right price. And I'm going to play it again just because it looks pretty. Then that's my argument.
All right.
Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, that's a keeper.
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Enough said, Jeff.
Good arguments, Jamie, but Binding of Isaac.
No, I'm with you.
But I'm not. I don't feel like Last of Us necessarily has to be denied a place on this list because, Spelunky came out for PC this year.
Spelunky came out for PS4 this year. I'm not certain about PC. I put it on there.
Go ahead.
I put it on there because it did come out on PS4. And it did introduce then challenges? No,
daily
something.
Challenges. Did daily it, challenge.
To all other platforms.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when. Maybe. I'm going to find out when the Spelunky Daily Challenge came out.
Well, I've heard that the other thing it did introduce is like some interaction with friends and being able to see when they died and levels and stuff like that. So it did have a new feature, if that is important, which I think it, mm-hmm. Maybe is. I put that on
I it. Say, yeah, because daily challenges started in 2013 on PC,
okay.
And I think that's where things started to get crazy. Like, I'm happy that it came to PS4, but I think we should cut that.
Okay, I'm okay with that. Spelunky, no doubt, got its due last year.
Oh yeah, great game.
And the year before,
still a great game. Best port forever.
Fail. You think Spelunky 2 will be a first person shooter?
I think Spelunky 2 will be voxel based.
I think Spelunky 2 is going to be Frog Fractions too. All right, FTL on iPad is what you have listed on here, Jeff.
I do. I like that game a lot.
Yeah,
you gave that to me, and I played it, and I had it on PC, and I tried to play it on PC, and I couldn't really get into it. But I did play the iPad version a fair amount, not a lot.
Did I gift you the iPad version in addition to gifting you the PC version years ago? Amazing.
Yes.
I'm a clever gifter.
No, but it worked out. Because the first time I was like, this is intriguing, but I'm too stupid. And then the second time I was like, this is it. This is what this should have been the first time.
I really like it on iPad. I feel like it still sometimes shows its seams as a port from the PC, but it's really fantastic, and it revitalized it for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually play Valkyria Chronicles, so I can't really...
Yeah, I can't either, but I'm going to go ahead and vote for Valkyria Chronicles anyway.
All right.
I'm just going to tell you guys that I bought it. Guys, I bought it on PC. I played the whole thing again. It's thousands of times better. They added more. Silvaria has three boobs now.
Here's why I put that on there, because I did play a lot of the original. I'm just really happy to see old, kind of semi-obscure Japanese titles getting ported from console to PC so more people can enjoy them.
Hmm. Yeah.
Kind of, but I don't know if that deserves a slot on the list just for that.
Who are you? Who are you to say that it doesn't? Who?
One of three people that who? Decides whether it is. That's who I am.
I don't remember if I even said anything about Pokemon going on here, but it doesn't ever win, ever.
No, it did not win. It is a port, kind of. It's just not that. It's not worthwhile, though.
Nope.
It feels, of all the remakes and redos, it feels the most like, well, we gotta get something out.
Yeah, we gotta get something to compete against that Smash Bros.
Yeah.
If we don't do it, who else will?
Wasn't there another big Nintendo game releasing on the same day?
Nah.
Probably just all the Amiibo.
Fantasy Life.
Nintendo who?
Later, Griff, later.
What are we saying as a winner here?
I think we're saying probably Rebirth, because that was more than just a port.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yep. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, we got three remainders to go through there. Really, I feel like FTL probably deserves a spot, and then it's either Last of Us or Valkyria. And yep. I'm perfectly fine with putting Last of Us because none of us have done the Valkyria Steam version.
Right.
Even though by all accounts it's a competent and great.
And like Griff's, I'll reiterate an actual argument for Last of Us. Like Griff said, they put in the DLC. It's prettier and it's $20.
But they put in the DLC for Valkyria. It's prettier. It runs at 60 frames per second, and it's $20.
But
all those things are true about Valkyria.
Why did you have to go and do that? Why? You couldn't have just said nothing. Now look what you've done.
I've used logic to refute your argument.
Fuck it. Sorry. Are we not chrissing?
No.
Nope. Jamie, never allow no chrissing. What?
I had no idea.
No, go curse away.
All right.
Farkle. But here's the difference. Valkyria is not The Last of Us, and The Last of Us is the best game ever, and Valkyria is maybe in the top 10. So
I've got a reason here that's controversial, and you guys won't like it, and it's kind of a joke, but the PC isn't something that we should ever be surprised by things getting ported to.
No, I'm with you there. It is kind of surprising that they decided to do what they did with The Last of Us, and delightful.
But I feel like it's surprising that Japanese developers are actually taking old titles that had long since fallen from the limelight and giving them their...
If the two of you keep making good points that are opposed, I'm going to
definitely
kill myself.
The easiest option for them at this point.
That's true, but for them to do it competently and for them to even... It's always
do we know it's done competently though? I mean, yes. That's the question. Since nobody has played it on
here's
Steam.
The thing. So this we can call this a Schrodinger's cat situation, or we can defer to Durante, who fixed Dark Souls, and he wrote an actual article about it being a good PC port, and he said it was a good PC port.
Okay. Well, I don't know. If we want to keep giving awards to games that we didn't finish, we can do that.
You shut your mouth. You're just trolling hard now. Anyway, I'm fine with not putting on the list because none of us played.
I think those three are better fits anyway.
I think it's an honorable mention. It's going to get an asterisk in my book.
You know, I think in having this discussion right now, it's already gotten that honorable mention.
Yeah, we're giving it its honorable mention. You guys should play Valkyria if you haven't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Get it on the PS3 where it's meant to be played.
Oh.
It's in the game.
I will tell you one thing about Valkyria. The cutscenes run at original resolution on PC.
Hmm.
That's all.
What does that mean, 720, even if you have it at higher?
720, maybe even lower, I'm not sure. I think
who cares?
Strike it from the list.
Yeah, I know. Forget about it.
Burn it.
You guys both beat that game, right?
Nope.
Oh. Well, I didn't beat it, Jamie. We talked about this last time. I got far, but I didn't beat it. It's one of my games that I need to return to. Also, my cat just added a whole bunch of
extra. Every goddamn battle in that game, including the DLC, is amazing.
It's also really hard.
Everyone.
It's really hard, Jamie.
It's on my list.
It's a very hard game.
I honestly can't remember.
I'm going to share a document with you, Jamie, where it's on my list. Just you wait.
What?
I have a games to playlist, and it's on it.
I'm going to move on to the next category we have here, and hopefully you two will join me. It's called Best / Most Obscure Virtual Console / PS1 Classic, or It's About Damn Time Award.
Or those three games that Jeff bought that he wishes everyone else would buy.
So, Jeff, lay it on us.
Demon's Crest? Guys, mm-hmm. It's that game I keep telling you to buy that nobody's...
Siemens Crest?
Nobody's even bothered to go to the Wii Shop listing for yet.
I've gone there.
I'll tell you what I did.
I've contemplated it.
I played Gargoyle's Quest on my Game Boy, and
yeah.
I played it.
You decided they were the same?
Pretty much the exact same game. And then I went to a store, and I saw a copy of Demon's Crest for the Super Nintendo with the label burnt off for over $100. And I thought, close enough to playing Demon's Crest on Wii.
Doesn't that tell you something about the game's potential quality?
I do not doubt it.
Okay, fine. So Demon's Crest, I've already talked about this in a previous episode, but it's a great little platformer with some kind of weird things going on. You're a gargoyle, and you get all these different transformations and different shot abilities, and it kind of has like some kind of Metroid-y elements where like if you retraverse the stages and look for new exits, you can unlock like you'll have like the core game, which is like four stages long, but then you unlock more stuff and you get up to like eight stages, and there's false endings and all this crazy shit going on. It's hard and fun and cool. That's kind of, it almost feels Dark Souls before Dark Souls a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's the most played out comparison of all time, but it kind of does. Then I put Viv Ribbon, which I just think is hilarious for the sheer novelty that game was just teased in the most awkward way during E3, and then they released it.
Whoops.
It's cool. It's a little, it hasn't aged perfectly, but it's pretty interesting, kind of abstract, cool looking game. Mm-hmm. And then I just put Suikoden on here because it's really cool that came out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It needs to come out since it's been re-released many times in other territories, but not U.S. for some reason.
Yeah.
Really?
That sucks. PSP, right?
Yep. PSP.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain it's on the Japanese PS3, PS1 store thing.
Yeah. But it's also, I think it also was remade for PSP.
I don't think it was remade. It was just packaged together with one in not American territories.
I see. Yeah. So just a straight PlayStation re-release as a dual card. So you could actually do the save and porting thing?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it. So yeah, we don't have to spend any time on this topic.
Wait.
Who wins? All of them? They're all winners?
I was just going to say. Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
No, this would require me to do actual research, and I'm not prepared to do that. I was going to
say, and I'll find it for you.
I was going to say, so until a while ago, if you wanted to play Siberia, you needed to do weird things because it wasn't prepared for like Windows past XP or something, and it was difficult and annoying. But then it started popping up like on GOG and Steam, and it was like updated in some way, so that you didn't have to do that. So if that was in 2014, then I would nominate that, but I can't be sure.
But hasn't Siberia been released on other platforms? I'm pretty certain it had a DS release.
Yeah, it had a DS release. I'm saying it's proper PC, not because I played the DS release and it was awful. It was a mockery of one of my favorite games. And so I was happy, and that's why I bought it for you guys, because I was so excited when it started popping up on GOG, and when I bought it, and it didn't say like, "Do you want to run Windows in safe mode so you can play this goddamn game that's like your favorite game?" So I was happy about that. But Jeff,
I can't find it because
if it cannot be confirmed, then forget it.
It just automatically converts Siberia in Google News to the actual country of Siberia.
Forget about it. I'm happy with your three. Your three sound pretty good.
Yeah, Siberia has been available on GOG for since at least 2011.
Okay.
But now it's the most definitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff, are you just going to give it to Demon's Crest because that's the one you bring up most consistently?
I don't even know how to give an award on this one. I just really wanted to mention these games by name somewhere. I mean, we can just say Suikoden because
they're all winners.
the most anticipated. Yeah, they're all winners. Excited whenever. I'm just happy that they people still care about old games and give them places to be purchased legitimately, because I like doing that when I can.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on. I can sit back and relax for a while.
Next category. best FPS or first-person shooter for those of you playing along at home.
Laugh out loud.
Didn't try Far Cry 4, so I defer to you on that one, Griff.
Well, that's one of the ones on the list. Otherwise, we also have Destiny, we have Titanfall, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, and Wolfenstein, The New Order.
That one's going to win, but...
So of these, you guys have played two of them, right?
Yeah, I've played none of them.
Oh, no, three of them, Jamie.
I played Wolfenstein, Titanfall, and Destiny. Well, okay. I played the Destiny beta.
Oh, yeah, I played Destiny.
But I would be fine with those three, pending what you say about Far Cry, because I do love me some Far Cry 3, and everyone says it's the same damn game plus elephants. I'd pay $60 for an elephant expansion to Far Cry 3.
All right. Well, I played Far Cry 4, and it's exactly that. It's just more Far Cry 3. That's about it.
So you wouldn't. You don't sound too excited about it.
Nope, not really. Nope.
So I'm fine with giving it to Wolfenstein. Definitely is the winner. No ifs, ands, or buts. And then Titanfall, Destiny. Did you like Titanfall?
Well, I think that's going to be the more interesting discussion here. Is I did like Titanfall, but I think Call of Duty: Advanced Warfare is a better game.
Okay, I have not played Advanced Warfare, so I can't really argue against that, but tell me about it. Tell me what sticks out.
Well, the split for me is playing a first-person shooter, I still like playing the story mode, and Titanfall had just the wettest wet fart of story campaign modes in that nonsense. And Call of Duty, it had actually a very surprisingly better than expected campaign. And you know, both of them had similar mechanics with the mobility introduced in the first person shooter. I think Titanfall did that side better, and I think that the Titans were a lot more interesting because of how dynamic they made fights. But like Call of Duty just did a pretty damn good job making a cool story.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You like COD Blops. Would you say COD Blops, in terms of story, is the pinnacle of that series?
Call of Duty Black Ops. Well, I don't know. That's a tough.
I believe it's called Black Operations, actually.
I don't know.
Black Surgeons.
Okay, I'm going to go back to sleep now.
I don't really know if I can put it. I don't know. That's a complex question. Because I think Call of Duty Black Ops 2 has the best story because of the choices it makes in its delivery and things that they'd never do in a first-person shooter or in a Call of Duty game. But, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops was really cool in what it did. But then, you know, like Modern Warfare 2 were also really good, too.
So in my mind, I'm fine with giving it to COD over Titanfall. If you think, since you've played both, if you think that the story is up there with like the best in the series, because if it's not up there with the best in the series, then I think that what Titanfall did in terms of just being a super solid game, never having any trouble with the online, always being fun, great matchmaking, just these basics that seem to be lost on developers these days. If the story is that good and it outweighs that what Titanfall did well, then I'm fine with giving it to COD.
Okay, so I have a question for you then before I answer that. Do you think Titanfall was mechanically more interesting and enjoyable than Destiny?
Yes.
Okay, then let's do Wolfenstein, Call of Duty, and Titanfall.
Oh, okay.
And
sounds
cut Destiny
good
out, because I think Destiny was a superb mechanically functioning shooter, but it Wolfenstein, I think for the reasons of mechanics, Wolfenstein added things into the mix and was still very good. And Call of Duty kind of picked up the slack in the story department that both those other games were really lacking. And then still had a very sound first-person shooter aspect to it. Do we got great, perfect.
And I feel like we're not talking about Wolfenstein because we talked about it a lot already. But honestly, Wolfenstein is the best thing that happened to shooters in like a decade.
For sure.
Like, I really need to play this game, don't I?
You should.
I'm gonna grab it.
I don't know if you're gonna. If you're not gonna like it, Jeff, you'll know pretty quick.
I've never felt like I'm gonna hate it. And the part that I watched, I was like, this actually looks pretty cool. So
I went into it with an open mind. I hadn't played an. Enjoyed a shooter that much in a long time, but it grabbed me right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Can I nominate the 5 minutes of GTA 5 I played as best shooting?
wait, for PS4?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you put that in the port section?
I'm going to retroactively award it best port.
Portland.
Portlandia.
All right, so winner is Wolfenstein. Stay tuned for the game of the year discussion for why that's actually so good. But Jamie, you can continue. I mean, it's okay.
Okay.
We can't cross the streams, Griff.
God damn it. Let's restart. I got to cut all that. All right. Something that Jeff can actually talk about is
Repugnance?
Best RPG.
Repugus.
Cuban's trip.
Get it?
Jamie, are you looking at the document and seeing it, or are you just saying that?
No, I'm looking at it. I look at it.
Okay, good.
I am in it.
Because I left something for you there.
Where is it? Dragon Gaze.
I don't think you can see it.
Well, the list of the best RPGs are South Park, The Stick of Truth, Freedom Wars, Bravely Default, Dragon Age Inquisition, Child of Light, and Akiba's Trip.
So,
are we missing anything?
I don't think so. Jamie, can you think of any RPGs? I'm gonna check my list real quick.
Beyond Divinity, Beyond whatever. We didn't play that much of that, but
no.
Oh, did you guys play it?
I played like an hour or two of it. I don't feel like I really can weigh in on it at all.
And I can't weigh in on it either. Seems very promising, but.
PC only, right?
PC only. It's two player, which is pretty weird.
Master Race.
Anybody think that Diablo 3 should be on this list?
Nope.
Okay.
No. We played a lot of that. That game sucks.
Okay. Well, we've played it at launch, to be fair. I mean, maybe it got better, but probably not.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, really I didn't put it in the port category either. I thought it was kind of boring.
Yep. I really just hated that game on a core, deep level.
Huh.
Me too.
So of this list, I think the most obvious choice is South Park, The Stick of Truth, because it does something that I've been wanting so long in an RPG, and that's just streamlining things, so you're not wasting so much time by grinding and random battling crap. At the same time, it is like very much a classic old school JRPG with like Mario RPG mechanics where you're interacting with the combat in each fight, and each fight is particularly challenging. So you're not just like, you know, nothing feels wasted and waste of timey. You know, it being in the South Park universe is very fun, and working within that lore and then also tying in like the RPG old-timey fantasy mechanics into like that stuff was pretty fun too.
But do you make choices about who lives and dies?
You do.
Your characters in response.
You do. Yep.
Can you have wonderful lesbian relationships?
Yeah. No.
with full nipples, regrettably.
Full nipples.
You can only play a male, so no.
Jamie, have you seen nipples in Dragon Age?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I'll talk about my relationship history in Dragon Age as evidence for why I should win Best Game of the Year.
Go. Oh,
boy.
It really isn't evidence, but it's just fun to talk about anyway. So at first I was like, so I'm like a sexy lady elf, right? And at first I was like, I'm totally getting with this Sarah chick. And then I didn't, because she is totes crazy. And I was like, I don't want to be with you crazy. So then.
Oh, the Rebel Wilson you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then I had sex with Iron Bull. He's like, Worf?
I had to look up Rebel Wilson, by the way. Go on with Iron Bull, though.
So I had sex with Iron Bull, and then he was like totally too casual about it. And I was like, listen, Iron Bull, you have my heart in your hands, and you're holding it there, and it's cold, and I feel nothing.
Did you get to see his Iron Bull?
No.
Oh, man.
And then I was like, Iron Bull, this is over. And then Iron Bull was like, fine, whatever. The Kuhn don't even like partner for life. I don't care. It's cool. And I was like, all right, fine. I'm glad that you feel that way. And then I went to Sarah, and I'm like, yeah. You want to knock some boots? And she's like, yep. And so now we're a couple, and she's all into the monogamy. And then I was questing with the both of them, and they had – this is actually kind of cool. I'm not joking anymore. I was questing with both of them, and one of the greatest things about Dragon Age is that when you're just walking around the world, the people you have in your party will have like amazing conversations, much like the kind of conversation that – I really enjoyed in Uncharted 2, just the kind of like back and forth banter that you would have just when you're traversing the level, but it was still funny and insightful and important for the story. So similarly, Dragon Age has that. And I actually look forward to putting party members in that I haven't used because I can't wait to hear how they react to the other characters in my party just when we're out and about. So I was questing with both Sarah and Iron Bull, who I had relationships with. And Iron Bull says to Sarah, like, so you're with the boss now, huh? And Sarah's like, I didn't know you knew. And then what's really cool about these kind of conversations that just play out when you're out questing is you can actually participate in them. So then after that came up, a little like wheel came up and it's like, do you want to like respond to the fact that two of your ex-lovers while you're trying to kill mobs are like talking about you? And like, just little touches like that are reasons.
Cool. Responded and said, "Bitches be trifling."
Reasons like that, I think, are like it's the small moments in this game. Griffin's right. I will refrain from talking about the larger story because I do not know how it ends. But the small moments in this game are unsurpassed in anything I've played. So that's why it wins Best RPG for me.
The small moments in Dragon Age are pretty great. I will say the 2 or so hours I played at South Park are pretty tight.
Tight.
Not gonna resolve this conflict at all.
No.
No.
Well, if you both want South Park, that's fine.
Well, and
no,
I'm
really right down the middle. They both bring something nice to the table.
Maybe we can pair some more things off the list here before we get into that. Obviously, Akiba's Trip is not on this because that game was dumb as fuck.
But if you see it, the S, and then it's like Strip.
Nuh-uh.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
No, it's a vacation.
No.
Yeah, no. It's a departure.
You know,
from Akiba.
It's actually a trip. It's actually a triple entendre because it's the Akiba Strip, but it's also taking clothing off.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's also a trip.
It's also a trip. And it's a trip, if you know what I mean, right?
Right. I'm masturbated.
I took off Child of Light because I didn't play it.
Yeah, but, fuck that.
What does it leave us with? Bravely Default should not.
No, I like Bravely Default. I just didn't get a chance to play. I've played maybe 25 hours of that game. I think that's a fine little game.
I'm going to say that Bravely Default has decent combat mechanics.
Yes, that's what I would say.
Not as good as the like FF5, but still okay.
Here's another reason why Dragon Age should win. As I'm playing Dragon Age as we speak, I'm spelunking in ice caves, and I came across a tiny little model of a pyramid, and I tried to touch it, and then it said that there was inscription on it, and it said in all caps, "Do not touch my pyramid." And that was it.
Wait, was that just flavor text for the item?
Just flavor. Well, whenever you walk up to like a strange item like that, you might get a prompt, and that's all it said. And there's no items in it, no nothing, just a funky pyramid inside an ice cave, and it said, "Do not touch my pyramid."
You might be farther in that game than I am now, Jamie.
I'm certainly not farther in the story, but I think I'm doing more earlier in the story than you are.
Okay. Maybe.
Like more optional events.
Maybe. I've been doing quite a few, but I think I've stayed in just a few areas.
Gotcha.
Oh.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really don't know which one. Okay, Bravely Default is definitely not winning. But nope. It can be there. It can
I
be
took
there.
Out Freedom Wars already.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Because it's just Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I feel like if we have the Dragon Age South Park debate, it's going to be the Wolfenstein South Park debate. Or
yeah,
Wolfenstein Dragon Age debate all over again.
If Griffin wants to say that I can't judge it because I haven't finished it, that's fine. He's right. But I will say that since the last time we talked, I've played maybe 10, 15 more hours of it, and it just keeps in my mind getting better. So that's what I'll say.
It is like a wine that has a doesn't hit you at first, but then it has a nice finish.
Yeah.
That's what all the ladies say about me. I have a nice finish.
okay. so on our list we have South Park, The Stick of Truth, Bravely Default, and Dragon Age Inquisition. That needs to not read that anymore.
Can there be ties?
I don't think there can be, and I think that that's I'm okay with it going to Dragon Age Inquisition because I think that by if we're also saying most RPG, the Dragon Age would win. Just because of the vastness of it. And I don't mean just like how long it is and how much content there is, but you know, South Park doesn't have those interactions that are crafted by the character. And if you want to get into it really, like your capacity to play a role in the world and tailor the story to how you want to tailor it to your character is unique in Dragon Age and non-existent in South Park.
I have an idea. South Park is the best JRPG of 2014.
That is a lot more accurate, yeah.
I'm putting it in. It's a category, and it's going to win.
All right. and then what? It just reverses, so South Park is the winner, Bravely Default is, and Dragon Age are the runners-up, but South Park wins.
It's unopposed, South Park.
Dragon Age is
the best JRPG.
Yeah. Dragon Age is the best FPS of the year.
All right. I think we did it. Let's
FPS
go to
mean
games.
Fucking people simulator, right?
Pretty much.
I think those nips were only in there as like a fuck you to Fox News. I'm deadly serious.
Well, now that it won this category, so I don't feel like I have to everything I say about it has to be glowing. I will say that I was really the sex scene with Iron Bull was amazingly tasteful and like nothing was, I'm really grossed out quite easily by games and weird sexuality in games. And the first sex scene I experienced, I was like, this is the best ever. The second one was so awful.
Yeah.
I could not stand it.
Dragon
I'm never
Age,
going to. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Because the first one had no nudity whatsoever. And then the second one was just gross. Just, ugh.
I wasn't as grossed out as you were. I'm to the point where it feels so silly that it doesn't really have much of an effect. But it was kind of like, okay, I guess if that's what you need to do
in a game that needs
it's
sex
weird.
Scenes,
it's
it
weird
did it
because
well.
It's weird because it makes your main character naked too.
Yeah,
that's the weird thing about it.
I didn't sign up for that. I'm hideous.
How is that not normal in like other BioWare RPGs?
You're not naked. You don't see Shepard's penis.
I wish.
I don't remember seeing my Lady Shepard's boobies.
Can you see Shepard's penis?
Wait.
My Lady Shepard, so as far as I know, has no boobies.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was just weird. It seemed weird.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, South Park had a pretty good sex scene too.
Well, there were a lot of naked people in South Park.
I watched a clip of South Park on Giant Bomb of the scene where there's a giant testicle swinging at you.
Yeah.
That looked that. I mean, that game looks incredible. I should get that game.
Yeah.
I
think we can move on though. Sorry to cut you off, Jeff.
Yeah.
Just right, because there's more categories to get through.
All right.
Okay.
So, mobile games.
Mobile game.
Spoilers.
Of the year.
Bubble game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Terra Battle.
Jeff, you want to read them? I got to write something.
Terra Battle.
I'm nominating the freaking Hitman.
It's there. He just put it on. He freaking read your mind.
Nice.
Jamie, okay, I've been putting your choices in here for you, so don't you worry.
Thank you.
But he literally put it before you did, which is amazing.
It's not updating on my iPad, which is weird, so I apologize.
I'm really sad you can't see the picture I put on it. Just try leaving and re-entering the document. You might get it.
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
Anyway, so mobile games of the year so far.
Also, reset your router while you're just trying.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Just reset it.
Go ahead and just power cycle the modem.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
My routers are so... Oh, I know what that is. I read about that on the news.
I read about that on porn.com.
All right, Jeff. Anyway, you got through Terra Battle, I think.
No, Terra Battle. It's nominated. Crossy Road.
What's Crossy Road?
We'll talk about it in a second. Monument Valley and Hitman Go.
Hitman Go.
You want me to argue for that first, because I don't think you guys liked it?
I think it deserves a spot, frankly.
Sure, yeah. I mean, make a case for it.
Yeah, so
I got to I think
that that game is very elegant. I know Jeff doesn't like how there is a...
Fuck you, Griff. Go on, Jamie. Sorry, go on.
It is like Go in some ways, but it's weird in that in order to win some levels, you have to shuffle back and forth on this grid in a way that might seem tedious. But that's to someone like Jeff, who's smart and stuff. For someone like me, to simply figure out that you need to shuffle back and forth, that like makes me feel so smart that I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I think it's a really unique game that kept changing as I played it. Sometimes simple puzzle games like that get stale quickly. I did not mm-hmm. feel that way with this game. Felt like it kept introducing newer enemies and so on and so forth as you went on. And you can criticize it and say that those enemies weren't different enough. But I did find that my, I guess you could say, play style changed as I went on. And I had a lot of fun with it. I beat it. I beat the DLC that came after also.
Huh. Did you 100% all the levels?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a good challenge.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that game. It wasn't for me is all I would say about it. Like, I recognize that it's a good game. I think it deserves a spot. I don't think that it deserves to win necessarily.
Sure.
I'm happy with it being here.
Okay. Right.
Should we talk about Crossy Road real quick, Griff?
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. It's Frogger.
Or do you want to talk about Toad's Treasure Tracker first?
You shut your mouth. Griffin added Toad's Treasure Tracker because he's an asshole. He doesn't love Nintendo like I do.
That's funny.
Crossy Road, like you said, it's Frogger, but on the I device or whatever, the handheld.
And you can get the whale that's carrying coffee and wearing hipster glasses.
It's cute.
Every time he hops around, his coffee splashes.
It's pretty much all there is to it, yeah.
Yeah. Flappy Bird. Why didn't you put Flappy Bird
on
here?
I put it on there and took it off because it came out in 2013.
But it came back.
It did come back.
Wasn't it like Flappy with Friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
That's actually my website. I'd prefer to keep this a family show, though. excuse me. That's Fappy with Friends.
Don't you mean a fucking family show?
Oh, Iron Bull. So, Jeff... I don't know. Terra Battle is the other thing on here.
Can you tell me what happens in a battle in that game? Because I know it's a thing.
Terra.
I know Sakaguchi made it.
Well, the mechanic is actually kind of cool because you're on like a checkerboard, essentially, and you have your tiles, which are your characters, and there are other tiles, which are the enemies. You have to drag your tile to surround... the enemy. So like you have to be touching on opposite sides of an enemy to initiate an attack. There's like power-ups based on if you're in contact with other of your teammates or if they're in the same line as you or if they're
Is this just Triple Triad except worse?
No. Triple Triad's a card game. This is more of like a grid-based strategy game using just solid pictures.
So cards.
Well, I mean...
I'm just being an asshole.
as someone who hasn't played.
It's not like that. Because the thing that I'm not expressing well here is they're not cards because you're not just laying them down on a field. You're moving them from one location to the next, and you can't move through the enemy. So if you touch your character, you only have so many seconds to move them around the battlefield. And then the strategy comes into place where if you move through one of your own teammates, it'll adjust their position. So you can do these like super crazy zigzaggy combat lines that double back on itself to set your other characters up to get a gigantic combo. So there is actually some really cool strategy involved, and it's also works really well on a touch device because of the limited time you have and how it is like it does have that kinetic nature where you're actually dragging this thing through obstacles. But
what was that?
Rondo of Swords. Jamie?
What?
Rondo of Swords.
What are you saying?
That's what it made me think of. The DS game where you have to pass through your soldiers.
What was the one that was on DS and then PS3 where you stack your enemies and then they like Heroes of Might and Magic or something?
Oh, yeah.
Griff, did you play that? Is it like that?
Nope. I don't know what that is.
That's that puzzle game, basically. It kind of plays like a puzzle game where you do some pass-through on that, too. That was a great game.
That was an excellent game.
Well, after that explanation, I think that I'm willing to take Terra Battle off this because despite it having some pretty cool strategy and being probably, like, it's very complex for a free game and has a lot of cool stuff loaded into it. But I think as a mobile game, it really fails because it's just too long. Like you play one mission and then you play it like you'll select a mission and you'll have to do 5 to 7 to 10 battles. And you know, it's like, if it's a phone game, maybe I just want to do one and spend literally 32 seconds to a minute on it instead of, you know, 10 minutes to complete these things. And,
gotcha.
And the way that it gives out its rewards are really tedious. And you know, at the very least, it's not in your face.
Tedium, that's what mobile gaming is all about.
Well, I mean, at least you can kind of there's certain hooks there that are like, oh man, I gotta wait for the next day to get my thing because the reward's gonna be actually kind of cool or has the possibility of being cool. I never saw any of that in this.
Like, it just makes me sad that the dude who made Final Fantasy, that's what he's doing these days. Thanks for
yeah
that. I mean, technically and strategically it's very interesting. But
okay, I should try it.
You should. It's free. It's fun. I mean,
I just don't. The thought of downloading it is like, it's onerous.
It's antithetical to your belief of what video games are.
Yeah, a little bit.
To see that the creator of your favorite one of your favorite franchises, has steeped so low.
No, I'll try it. I'll try it. It was mostly just that I tried to download it on my phone when I was on vacation, and it was like, hey, this is going to be over a gigabyte. And
yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
It's all that hot music. Those hot tracks.
Yeah. By the way, so the game Jimmy is Might and Magic Clash of Heroes.
Yes, that was a great game.
Yeah,
Griff, you should definitely give that a try on some on a system of your choice.
Can very I get worth it on Steam?
I think you might be able to.
Can I get a steamy pile of it? I'm not going to, but I'll play it sometime.
Yeah, it's on PS3 and 360.
Cool.
And yes.
Okay, so we have on this list still Crossy Road, Monument Valley, Hitman Go, and I don't think Crossy Road wins, so it's up to you guys.
Monument Valley.
Better.
I played the expansion, Jamie. Super great.
Yeah.
Was it worth the price?
Oh, I specifically rated that game 5 stars because fuck those people.
Good, good. Yeah.
Me too.
It was. I mean, it was a little bit shorter, I think, than the original game, which is fine for DLC. It was nice, though. It told a nice little vignette.
Yeah.
And your friend is back.
Great. Is that a game I can play on my phone, or is it like an iPad game?
No, you can play it on your phone.
You can play it on your Android tablet now. If you're a loser.
Some kind of barbarian.
Some sort of neckbeard.
Still again, the I'm very interested in Monument Valley, so I'll be playing that sometime. I promise.
Yeah. Don't go in there expecting it to change your life, because it is a beautiful game and it's a very satisfying game, but it's not a game that makes you re-examine the genre. Mm. It's just a fun game.
Well, it did for me, but I think that I'm in the minority in that regard.
I just thought it was really great. Okay. I had a really fun time with it, and yeah, it's really good. But don't, again, you know, it's not, for me at least, it wasn't like, oh my god! It was just like, oh man, this is really awesome. What a fantastic little game.
It did that for me only because it was that and Device 6 were times when I thought there's actually something, there's a reason why I have this stupid tablet. There's a reason why I spent this money.
Device 6 does that for me big time.
What?
Device 6 does that for me big time, but
yeah.
Came out last year.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
All right. So Monument cool. Valley wins.
Yep.
Can't wait to have an opinion on that game. best music this year. Probably a tricky category since we don't have the capacity to play music besides jumping to YouTube links or whatever. So we'll do our best.
I can do the Mario Kart music.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yeah.
That one wins.
Okay. Got it.
Also tricky because we haven't played all these games, all of us.
Yeah. Let's see here. So on the list, we have Transistor, Super Smash Bros. 4, Mario Kart 8, Bayonetta 2, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, Jazz Punk, Shovel Knight, and The Wolf Among Us. And I have actually played all these games.
I want to give a shout out to one that I don't think deserves to win, but okay. I just want to go ahead and say that I thought the music in Donkey Kong was really great.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs were like remixes of songs that I remember very fondly. Mm-hmm. And the music in those games, when it's done right, has such like a whimsical like quality to it. And I feel like they could have put any type of weird video game music to Donkey Kong, but they, for some reason, have chosen to put like this weirdly introspective, hauntingly beautiful, like spin on things. And I think it works really well.
Can I tell you something about that game, which you maybe don't know, Jamie?
What?
They have the original composer.
Oh yeah,
Country. That's why it sounds like the old games, and why it's so much better than the previous title in terms of soundtrack.
Yeah,
it's funny because when I heard samples of Tropical Freeze, I was like, meh. But when I actually played the game, it just gels so wonderfully.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff. I think playing it, you listening to the music outside of the game feels kind of like you're going to a carnival or like a kid's play zone or something, but playing it in the game, it's like, oh no, this is beautiful. Like the
first half of that game is like freaking magical. And then something happens. It gets real hard.
But then you have Stockholm syndrome when it's over. And then you're like, God, I loved everything about that game.
Pretty much. Have you finished it, Jamie?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Did you beat the last boss, right?
No, we're like two levels away.
The last boss is
a slog.
It's not as bad, in my opinion, as the underwater boss.
That was the worst.
But the last boss is you're going to tear your hair out.
All right.
Yeah.
I will look forward to that one. Griffin, was that Smash Brothers 4 a purposeful mistake?
No, Smash Brothers 4.
Look. Okay. So it was.
I love that. Let's call it that.
It's like,
are other people like, calling it that?
It's like Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married Too?
I can do bad all by myself, 17.
No, but you know that he said Why Did I Get Married T-O-O.
Really?
Clever man. Yeah, he did.
Oh. How is he so good in Gone Girl? How?
I haven't seen it yet.
No sense made.
All right. Staying on track here. Games with good music in them.
Can I fire some shots against Smash Brothers and say that it's not good for a couple of reasons, because all that music was in the last game.
Okay.
Number one. And number two, remixes aren't as good as the real thing.
As Griffin stated, this game makes it so user friendly. And even though it might have been all there before, like it's right there now. I didn't even notice it last time.
Well, it's kind of still tucked away in a fucking obscure corner because thanks to menus. But
I don't think we can knock it for being tucked away in an obscure corner. If once you get in there, it's real nice.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, did Smash Brothers Brawl have a music library that you could listen to all the great musics in?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay, so you're saying like all this music has existed before in Smash Bros. And in other Nintendo games, so why are we honoring it?
Kind of. I'm okay with remixes being honored. I felt like the stuff that I heard, I partially probably because I've already heard it enough to kind of like have it get a little old for me. Yeah. Nothing was like really novel. And the stuff that I heard that I liked, I was like, oh, that's from, you know, one of the Mario and Luigi games that I really enjoyed. Hmm. And I already was obsessed with that song once before. So it just didn't really land for me. But if it landed for both of you guys, then I can't overwhelm you with my complaints. But I just wanted to put it out there that it's not a best of.
Oh, yeah. I think that Smash Bros. 4 wins most music easily.
Does not compare.
Yeah. It
does not even compare.
But I feel you. Like, I do really like the remixes, and Jeff, I usually agree with you. Like, remixes are inferior, except for Nintendo games, because they're usually done with so much craft and love, and you're already taking really good source material and doing really cool stuff with it. So I really like those ones in this game.
Yeah, some of them are amazing. Just a lot of them are ones that came from Brawl.
Oh, okay.
So, for me.
I gotcha what you're saying. I didn't really notice like that with like being a player stage or something, or like a stage that you'd be hearing the music on. I was more interested in some of the ones that weren't linked to Brawl.
No, I mean from Smash Brothers Brawl. Like, I mean, a lot of them are from previous games in the Smash Brothers series.
But how do you listen to them in the previous games? Is that what I'm asking?
You download the ripped soundtrack a couple days after the game comes out.
Okay, so it was a game. It was a soundtrack that would be playing during a level or something.
I think so. I don't recall there being a music player. There may have been. I don't. You know.
Okay. Well, regardless, I don't think that it is one of the best.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I won.
There are better.
I'm striking it through.
Do it. Strike that baby out of here.
Smash Bros. 4. It doesn't say which console it's for. It's funny because that's what it said.
Well, I guess Wii U, right? Because that's the one that does have the big dearth of music.
Yes.
Can we, that, well, technically we should be calling that Smash Bros. 5 because the one on the 3DS is 4.
Just a demo?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, well, it's 4.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about how dumb those names are? Smash Bros. 4 Wii U. Smash Bros. 4 3DS.
What if it was that, though? Would that be better?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Step up to the streets.
Because I like it. I like the title currently. Just because of that little twinge of awful nomenclature.
Yes. But I mean, like, the actual name of the game is Smash Bros. 4 Wii U. Mm-hmm. That's the actual name of the game.
Yeah, yeah. Smash Brothers 4 Wii U.
I don't think they thought of that pun.
Smash Brothers 4.
Okay, anyway. Transistor. That had some pretty good music in the one stream that I watched of it one time.
It did have some really good music. I think we need to move on beyond that right now and see where things go.
Hello?
Hey,
what do you think? What do you mean like you're gonna move to a different category, or
no? I mean, like, can we see if there's something else we can cut out before Transistor goes, if it does?
Okay. How was Bayo2's music?
Scott Bayo. It has the same spirit as Bayonetta 1.
Yeah,
I love the music in Bayonetta 1.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's like weird kind of like not expected, you know, Japanese pop playing while you like rip the legs off of demons.
Is it still like Fry Me to the Moon and stuff?
No, which is why I don't think it belongs here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of pop.
The obsession with Cry Me to the Moon has been lost in Bayonetta 2.
Cry Me to the Moon? Did you just say Cry Me to the Moon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that, what is it?
It's Fly Me.
Oh, okay.
No, it's actually Fry Me to the Moon.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's the Ren and Snippy version. Okay. That's where I was getting confused.
All right, so that's dead.
I also think the Bayonetta 2 music is pretty much forgettable.
Okay. Because Bayonetta music is not forgettable at all.
No, it's not, which is why I think Bayonetta is a superior Bayonetta.
Best Bayonetta.
Best Bayonetta.
I'm cool to cut jazz punk because while I really liked the beats and bops, there it was kind of ambient.
Yeah.
Really liked them, though. Great sound design.
Yeah, for sure.
Strike through. A plus in sound effects. I was telling Griff, Jamie, that I have Jessica got me a book for Christmas 1 year called How to Win at Nintendo Games, which ranked the Nintendo games in question by their sound effects.
That's amazing.
They could receive letter grades on their sound effects.
The most Lovely. Disgruntled fan ever.
Yes. Wolf Among Us, I haven't played. What do you guys think of that music?
Best opening song ever.
Yeah, and just a great year. It sets the mood so well.
Yeah.
It's such an integral part of the experience of playing that game.
It is.
Probably one of the reasons why I enjoy that game so much.
All right, this is on my next year list. I got
to
play this game.
Just listen to the song, Jeff. Just go watch the title animation. No,
I'm
going to
play
song.
It. I'm going to play it. It's on the list. Go ahead.
It's so
good.
Yeah, really good. And it's one of the few games where I'm going to remember the art in that game as much as I'm going to remember the music.
Okay. I don't remember a single other track in that game except for that first one, which was amazing.
I remember like the tone that the music sets like throughout. Like I remember it's mostly like minimalistic tones, but in the same I just fell through the sorry. Much in the same way that Mass Effect had a very minimalistic score but it was a cohesive score that it maintained a certain mood throughout the entire experience. That's kind of how I feel about The Wolf Among Us.
Wait, can I just read you guys something that Teen News tweeted in my Twitter that someone retweeted?
Sure.
Yeah.
This just in, Dubstep has officially been declared gay and for old people by the International Age Federation.
Great.
I think it's relevant.
It is. You're right.
I'm going to follow it. Come on. Sorry, guys.
All right. So, what about Shovel Knight?
I think I loved the music in that game more than either of you.
I was going to say, I'm going to be a weeaboo and say that the ones that were composed by the Japanese contributor were the best songs on the soundtrack. But they actually were.
I don't know what those were. Don't worry about sending. Yeah. But I just really liked it. I don't know what else to say.
I like them too. No, I did. I like them a lot. I don't think they stand alone very well, but that's kind of the same thing with Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah. Which I just crossed off because I think Shovel Knight, I could at least listen to the music outside of the game and think it's kind of good.
Okay. I'm okay with this. Are you okay with that, Jamie?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Griffin, where do you land on Shovel Knight?
Shovel Knight for me was mostly forgettable. At the time I was thinking about it and saying, oh, these are kind of cool tracks, but I don't really like the 8-bit, just like raw throwback 8-bit music. Like I like it to be beefed up a little bit and brought to the modern era. So I think I'm the wrong demographic for that.
I love the raw 8-bit stuff. I felt like there were a couple good ones in there. Like I said, the Japanese ones. I'm cool with it being here on the list, though, from what we have left. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That kind of depends on you guys. I'm okay with it being in the top three, though.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
You don't, I guess, on the other hand, you also don't see that a whole lot. Like, just really well done 8-bit music that's not trying to be anything more than 8-bit music.
Yeah, I always respect good 8-bit music myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jeff, does Does Mario Kart 8 belong here?
I love the music in that game. I think it's really good. I don't know if it belongs or not. Is it new? Can't.
Is it different from Mario Kart Wii?
Oh. Are you turning to me, the resident Nintendo fanboy?
Well, if we're saying Smash Bros. For Wii U doesn't really hang up here because it was all music from other games, does Mario Kart 8 deserve a spot for the same reason?
I mean, the 16, however many new tracks there were, those were all new music, and it's fully orchestrated. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was.
It is pretty good.
Yeah.
And there's that one level that's all music level, right? Electro Dome Road.
Yep. And then there's Music Park.
Music Park. Level. There are good levels.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's kind of how I'm feeling.
Yep.
Because I forgot all those things. but they are great.
I put the Good Shovel Knight song in the Google Doc, guys, just so you know.
Great.
It's a good song.
Check it out. Okay, so right now we have Transistor, Mario Kart 8, Shovel Knight, and The Wolf Among Us.
Who dies?
I'm
not killing anyone.
I think Transistor has to stay because part of that game's like storytelling angle was music. And one of the cool things is your character is a singer and you lose your voice. Yet when you go into this sort of like meditative planning state for the combat, you hear this gorgeous jazz humming, and it's just so smoky and so noir. Like it sets the tone for that game in so many different regions. It's, you know, Supergiant Games bringing their A game once again to a soundtrack in a video game.
Yeah,
I think it has to be on this list.
I'm with you.
That was pretty awesome, that stream that I watched when she sang.
I played probably 75% of that game, and you're spot on, Griffin.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Cool. So does that one win, or does something else take it?
I don't know.
What goes away here? Which of these four goes away?
The Wolf Among Us easily has the best single song of all these games. But does it win overall?
Doesn't win overall in my eyes.
Okay. Is it going away?
So we're saying that Shovel Knight and Mario Kart 8 have better music than The Wolf Among Us. Despite that one track that made the entire game just so sexy.
Oh, it's like Snake Eater.
It is. It really is like that.
I don't know. Someone else make this decision.
Some days you dine on the tree frog.
I mean, for me, I would cut Shovel Knight because I wasn't attached to that music. I think both the other three games have better music. But Wolf Among Us is just one song versus many okay songs.
I didn't play Wolf Among Us, so I have no say. Jamie, make the decision.
It's your decision, Jamie.
Oh, God.
Which one?
Well, I personally just, and this is completely subjective, I can't argue for this because I'm not very articulate when it comes to like describing why I like music, but I just completely subjectively would say that Shovel Knight.
Okay. Decided.
Is better?
Yeah, okay. I would say Shovel Knight is better, made more of a lasting impact on me, and I might actually listen to that music on its own.
Okay.
It captured me.
Check out the link I sent you, Jamie. That's a pretty good Shovel Knight song.
What's a link?
Also, go listen to that Wolf Among Us track, because it's the best.
I will. Yes.
I mean, I everybody right in the world right now.
Wolf Everyone.
So who wins? Mario Kart 8, Shovel Knight, or Transistor?
Well, you put out a pretty good argument for Transistor, Griff. I honestly, I'd forgotten about the music and the tone of that game, which is odd because I really did enjoy my time with it. I just didn't finish it for some reason. But your argument, I would, if we wanted to put that as the winner, I would be fine with that based on your words that came out of your mouth.
Okay.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, great. I like sexy, smoky cyber techno, cyber noir jazz music.
literally, as you reminded me of that thing, I was like, even though I wasn't that excited about the mechanics of this game, I kind of want to buy it for just that lady singing.
Yep. Mechanics get crazy. It's good. Good game.
There's a button to sing. How about that?
Yeah, no, yeah. That's the thing that enticed me the most when I watched it being played.
Great. Transistor, you earned it.
Sweet. We did another one.
All right. Woo! Keep moving here.
I'm riding high.
Riding dirty.
Is there one we can skip to quickly? Jeff, do you want to take best character of the year? I got to take a quick bio break here.
Okay. So best character of the year, Griffin filled in all of these nominees. So I'm going to really say, oh, wait, I put a few in there, actually. He said Delson from Infamous, which, Jamie, you can respond to.
Iron Bull is cooler than Delson.
Yeah, Iron Bull's on there, too. He put Monokuma from Danganronpa. Thank you for putting that, Griffin. I like that character, but I feel kind of awkward putting him on there because he's from, like, 2010. He put the Space Coyote from Broken Age, I guess.
No.
Yeah, pretty one note to me.
I'm gonna put on there Corypheus.
Corypheus?
Yeah.
Corypheus.
Cool. Corypheus.
Corypheus. I like how she keeps saying his name.
I know, it's amazing. It's so cute. Adorable. Stop being so cute.
I saw her boobies.
I know. Oh, so you and I.
I told you I was going after Sarah the whole time.
I don't remember the things you say.
I thought you loved me.
I do.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird scene. I felt a little awkward, but yeah. Like I said, it didn't, for whatever reason, I wasn't as put off by it as I usually am by those things. I think
go ahead.
I think it just was like, I had a hard time believing anybody could like be aroused by it. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. I'm with you.
This is a fuck you to that Fox News guy who got it laid into Brian Crescente about alien side boob.
Yep. So I hate to keep like putting more characters from Dragon Age on this, but I think that Corypheus deserves to be on here. I think he's an extremely unique villain, and I think now that we're talking about it, I think Sarah deserves to be on here too.
Yeah, put Sarah on there. I think when this was being made, I don't know why I didn't put Dragon Age characters.
Let's get Griffin in.
I'm here.
On this shit. So Griffin, we just added a bunch of characters from Dragon Age to this list.
Good. Yeah.
So go ahead and contribute to this.
Wait. Let me explain. So I think my personal top pick is going to be, I want someone from Dragon Age to win, but my personal top pick from Dragon Age is your arch nemesis, Corypheus. I think he's really cool because Griffin.
He's actually in the previous game too, I believe.
Oh, really? Yes.
So he's not a new character, so he doesn't get into this.
Well, he's a new.
No, that's not fair.
Yeah, that's not fair because he completely changes in like a lot of different ways.
I'll be arguing against him later, unless he's changed more since I last saw him, Jamie. But go ahead.
No. So I just think. So I like badass villains, and there's. I think that they kind of cheated because there's literally a Sephiroth moment with Corypheus where he literally walks through fire like Sephiroth. And so I think that might be what's talking right now and not actually.
Also alcohol.
And alcohol. But he's really cool. So Griffin, he is like a magister from an evil empire. And he found a way to basically go to heaven. And he has returned, and he claims that at the throne of actual heaven, like where God should sit, he claims there was no one. And he claims that he wants to ascend to that throne for the good of all humanity. Because if he can do that, then humanity will have something to aspire towards and will have a goal to shoot for, and he will be that goal. Mm. But no one actually knows if he's telling the truth. And I think that's pretty cool.
Let me tell you why Corypheus is not a particularly great character, even though I like him. I think he looks cool, and I think he's interesting. You see him, like, three times. No, you see him once, actually. Once?
No, I've seen him twice.
Oh! You must be farther than me then. What's the last mission you did?
I think I'm lying, actually. I'm lying.
I've seen him once. When your home gets blown up.
But here's the thing about Dragon Age. You talk about these people.
Yeah, but okay. Can we really say that, like, Godot is the best character?
Good point. Yeah, I do.
If he's not on screen, he really can't. But you're right. But I will say, Iron Bull and Sarah are both some pretty great characters. At least in a year where there was no protagonist that I can really be excited about.
Mm. We've had Iron Bull before. Iron Bull is Worf, and I love Worf. But we've had Iron Bulls before in like, you know, geeky fiction. I don't think we've ever had a Sarah before.
Well, let's compare their nipples because you see them both.
So
Iron Bull wins in the nipple department.
That's true. who would you say between them, Jeff?
I'd say Sarah because I liked her, but they're both great.
Someone on some podcast correctly described her as the embodiment of 4chan, and I think that is accurate. And it's fun talking to her because it's in some ways it's similar to talking like another unnamed friend of mine, who also has some crazy beliefs about things that he may or may not have obtained on 4chan.
Character is delightful because they're quirky and they're well written. Is that what you're going for with Sarah?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of devil may care, but she's got some chewy nougat center in there. She's got some chewy nougat in there.
You can't, I mean, if someone asked me to describe her, the first thing that comes to mind would not be devil may care because she cares about the
common person, but she presents as like, well, I don't, you know, I'm just in it for fun.
She has a deep-seated hatred for nobility, which she masks in a kind of laissez-faire, but that facade is easily broken.
Yes. Also, you learn later it's some stuff that gives her some cool depth. I like her. Like her better than Cassandra, that's for sure.
Better than who?
Cassandra.
Who is Cassandra?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
She's the lady who wouldn't sleep with me because she doesn't like girls. Yeah. Guess what, Cassandra? It's my video game. I paid $60. You're going to sleep with me.
Really? Jamie plays out his creepy video game sexual harassment fantasies.
Oh, my God.
Wait, and we skipped over Cranky Kong. Why did we skip over I put no one on the list, by the way, before we thought of some Dragon Age characters, which are actually pretty cool, because there were no good protagonists, that's for sure, in my opinion.
But Delson is a good Delson. He's a cool guy.
Is better than he has any right to be.
Okay.
Like, his douchey Seattle facade is superseded by his decent writing, interesting character growth, and just not being a horrible racist stereotype because he's Native American.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's the one protagonist this year they managed to not fuck up.
For sure. Yeah. I mean,
so he probably deserves. Yeah, go ahead.
You could put BJ Blazkowicz on this list, but then you could just take him off immediately.
Yeah.
Fuck the moon.
Yeah. I feel like you could just boil every one of those characters from that game into like an amalgam of awesomeness.
Isn't the old lady cool though? She's cool.
But they kind of ruin that character at the end of the game. Not in a way that like detracts from her previous establishment, but just in a way that you're like, oh, now she's Superman. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
that's a bummer.
Well, it's not like they erased her.
It's actually really cool, but it's like, well, now this is something that's not the same character.
Yeah. Well, her defining trait throughout the game is her handicap, and then at the end they're like, Jew magic gives you Iron Man suit.
Jew magic just pervades this game, doesn't it?
Yeah. It really does. It's so really good. Does.
I want to play it now.
You
guys have sold me on it.
Okay, so I'm okay with. I think Delson is better than he has any right to be. If we're going to actually make a legitimate case for this category, but I don't think he is a great character.
But I'm going to say in a year of not so great characters, he probably earns a spot on this list.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cool with just voting as a block and putting Sarah up there because people like her and we like her too.
Yeah.
I still don't understand what you guys like about her. To me, she's just like Dragon Age's. This year, character is this person in pop culture. So I think people like Bridesmaids. So here's your Rebel Wilson character.
She's not Rebel Wilson, though. Rebel Wilson's like an idiot. She's the fat roommate, Jamie, if you didn't know. Because I didn't. I had to look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's saying.
She's
the Australian girl who's like
exactly.
kind of heavy and she's like yeah super bubbly outgoing personality
and
that's
dumb.
Like, dumb.
No, this is definitely
not
like
Pitch Perfect too. But I mean, it's not like yeah. The vibe that I got from her in the first interaction when you meet her is like I literally have no idea what you're doing, and her joke is I stole their pants. Ha 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 ha. Look,
well,
they have no pants. 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 Pants.
What we're saying is that beyond that, that what we're saying is that is a poorly maintained, like, front.
So is this and, I got to get out of the hinterlands situation? Like, I got to get it out of the
hinterpantalones? The problem with your Sarah hate, and this is how I knew you wouldn't like the game, I instantly liked Sarah. I was like, yeah, I'm cool with what they're doing with this character. I'm fine.
Yeah, me
I'm
too.
Fine. This was okay. Funny. I enjoyed it.
And then it just gets better.
Yeah, I didn't get like a Rebel Wilson vibe. I just thought like she was, you know, like I said, it kind of came off as like, you know, I hate the nobility, but I also kind of like to have a laugh. But maybe, you know, but then later you get kind of like the kind of the depth and the vulnerability in there. But I was instantly on board with the character. Like I especially enjoy when she's being goofy and ridiculous. And they kind of represent her as a bit airheaded, but she's clearly more intelligent than she lets on.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And she's never dumb like the character that I've seen Rebel Wilson portray is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And she's got a great song.
She does. Her song.
That's my favorite song.
She does have a good song.
All the characters, Griffin, get songs that like the bard will play in the bar, uh-huh. like randomly, uh-huh. and hers is the best song.
How long do you have to sit in the bar? Okay, sorry. Okay, whatever. It's Sarah. Fine. Whatever.
You have to grind the bar for 80 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, so can it be... Can the top three be Delson, Sarah, and no one?
No, gotta get... If it's literally... If it's between no one and Iron Bull, Iron Bull legitimately deserves to be on there. He's
okay.
He's cool.
All right.
I liked Monokuma. He was pretty cool, too. I know Griffin wasn't that crazy
Monokuma's
about him.
Monokuma's not a character.
He's a character.
Monokuma is a tool.
He's a juxtaposition of the lighthearted and the morbid, as evidenced by his physical appearance.
Maybe I just have an issue with video game humor, and I don't get it, have the same appreciation that you guys do in thinking things are funny. So if you want to go for Monokuma, go for it.
You know, I'm just gonna say, play that game, guys. That was a fun game.
He's a bear, right?
I played it.
He's
it's pretty
bear.
Good.
Well, let's put a bear on there.
All right.
We should at least have one.
Is that like put an owl on it? I don't understand. Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
Which
bear
gets it? Iron Bull or Monokuma?
he's a different kind of bear.
there must be other characters. Griffin, let's. What about... what about the guy... I like the guy in Wolfenstein with the hole in his head. He's pretty cool. Did you like him?
Which one is that?
The baby who just says his name?
Nope.
The baby?
That was an interesting bit, but definitely not a character.
That's
definitely
true.
Not a character.
I'm grasping at straws here.
Yeah. I'm going to say Monokuma because all the anime people like him.
It's also not a character, but whatever.
He's as much of a character as you can expect a Japanese anime game to have.
And he's a bear.
I liked him.
I think there are other real characters in that game who are more interesting because of the ways that they like bust out of their stereotype if you engage with them over Monokuma.
Yeah, but Monokuma has catchphrases.
See, Griffin, if you like that, then you'd like Dragon Age. You gotta play.
Listen, Monokuma has
super boring.
He has catchphrases. Okay, uh-huh. Listen to this, and he hams it up.
Ooh, hamming. Ham dogs.
But if you, okay, consider this. What if we take the individual behind Monokuma and we envelop Monokuma with that person. Probably didn't like that individual either, did you, Griffin? Very anime.
I think that character was very one note. I don't know if there's something introduced in the second game with something behind Monokuma.
No, I mean, by their very nature, those characters kind of are one note. But the concept of what...
Is Monokuma like Dread Pirate Roberts? Like, somebody needs to take up the mantle? Is Monokuma Highlander?
I'm not going to spoil the second game from you, because Monokuma does return.
Clearly.
So I don't want to say what's going on with Monokuma in that game. But think about it in the first game. I don't know. I mean, I understand that is definitely a one-note character and someone whom you don't see a lot of because they're kind of revealed at the end. But it's just, I like the premise. I like the idea of, it's not a cool character in the sense that it's like really three-dimensional, but it's a cool character in the sense that like, oh, that's a really weird idea to think about. Like, that's kind of disturbing and strange, and that
but
succeeds.
It's
in
just been
me off.
Done in other games already in media. Like you've got, like it's like the Jigsaw Clown. Rabbit from
well, not,
VLR,
not so much
which was
clown,
which was
kind
just
of
the same.
More of a Joker, really.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. No, because every time you interact with Monokuma, you get the impression that it's not human and that it's not something that is like beholden to human ideals. Like it's not a character because it's so obviously fabricated for video game purposes.
But there is someone pulling the strings. I mean, the rabbit is more.
But then at the end of the game, it's like, well, that person may as well just be nothing because essentially they're insane and have no grasp on reality. So why did they even matter?
Because I liked them and they were cool.
Everything that both of you are saying just makes this game sound awesome.
It's a pretty cool game.
It has some good moments.
Yeah, it's not going to blow your mind like VLR does, but it's very fun.
The rabbit is good.
The rabbit?
Yeah, in VLR.
See, this is the problem. You played VLR first, and they have a lot of the same things going on.
They
and
sure
I played
do.
I played Danganronpa first, so you probably liked that rabbit at the time.
No, I just said that neither of them are great characters. That the same thing.
Yeah, I heard you. But here's the thing about the rabbit. The rabbit was like a facade, whereas Monokuma is like more the real deal. Okay, anyway, forget about it.
Oh, I get what you're saying there. I appreciate that.
I'm voting for the bear.
Difference.
Yes! Bear overrides.
Fine, whatever. This category is dumb anyway.
You did it, Griff. You validated it all. Can we do the next category real quick?
Who wins? I'm sorry, I missed it. Was it Sarah?
Sarah.
Okay, great.
All the characters you hate are winning, Griffin.
Oh, that's fine. did we establish if other people won or not, or was this just all just
Delson and Monokuma? And
oh, okay.
Cranky Kong, honorable
great.
Mention.
Excellent. Good list.
Cranky Kong. Couch gaming. Go gaming.
Couch. Okay.
Before we lose him.
Let's see.
Okay.
Mario Kart 8 is the winner.
Agreed. Great.
Okay, great. Mario Kart wins. We're not even going to tell the audience what the other categories or what the other games are.
The other games are
no,
Dragon
don't tell
Age,
them. Don't
Dragon
tell
Age Inquisition and Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2 Wrath of the Lyrium.
The other nominees are Sports Friends and Towerfall. But you can play Mario Kart with other people than your couch friends.
But are we talking about like physical couch? Like this is my category, so I can do whatever I want. Like
yes,
I'm basically the
you,
king of this category.
You know,
well, okay, so
this category.
In you writing this category, part of why you wrote it was because you're the only person who has friends to play games with and enough controllers to do so. So I figured you might have some insight on that.
So I,
yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
All
you. You own this category now. I just took ownership of the best old game, and now you take ownership of this one. Go.
Okay.
Spin it.
As the king of this category, I'm going to say Towerfall is the best couch game of the year because when I get everyone over, I always expect that like everyone's going to want to spend more time with a game that maybe has like a little less to learn about it. Like there are games in Sports Friends that you can explain in 30 seconds and that's fine. And with Towerfall, you always have to say like, okay, you have three arrows and you can pick them back up and you can deflect an arrow if you press this at the right time. And sometimes the stages do this and then there's the shields and like we can turn the shields off. And every time like I get together and we play my PS4, I worry about that because no one remembers and I have to explain it every time. But then Towerfall ends up being the game that we'll play for like literally 6 hours in a row, even with people who like even with Shannon and Hannah who do not play video games, and they will win from time to time and they will remember like, okay, this is what you have to
and
do.
They're
to
women.
Catch. And they're ladies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew?
What?
The miracle that they can even operate the controller.
I know. So that said, I think that Towerfall has something crazy going on because it has like a level of depth that I identify, but at the same time, anyone can jump in. I think I even played with my dad for like an hour and, that guy doesn't, he has no idea what year it is. He thinks it's 1978.
That cat's on another planet.
What do you guys think?
You did a great job.
Yeah. Okay. Towerfall won.
Towerfall wins, then Mario Kart 8, only because Mario Kart, I haven't actually sat on a couch and played it with people who are next to me.
Can I just say that Jessica doesn't like Towerfall, but it still wins because it's your category.
Yeah.
And it is because Towerfall Ascension, right?
Do you need some help on that spelling?
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay.
How close was
that?
Was close.
Yeah, I went a little bit awry there.
Oh, yeah, I was. I mean, phonetically, I was there.
You were totally there.
Yep, great. Jamie, I would like to hijack it for just a second, and I'll give it right back. But Fibbage is a really good game.
I have to try that.
And I'm still looking into playing it online, Griff.
Good luck. I don't know how you can do that.
It's been played on stream, so I'm sure...
The delay will make impossible. It impossible.
Oh.
Because you we'll literally only have seconds to type in your answer, and if there's a 15-second delay on the stream, or 10-second delay, or even 5... Or it won't work.
Maybe reading the question. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I know there's a way because I've seen it played live on streams with people who are distant, with like random viewers of the stream.
That'd be tough. That'd be super tough. Yeah. I possibly.
I'll look into it.
Anyway. But yes, Fibbage is a great game.
Can you guys?
I would have put it on my list if I knew that it came out this year. Now in retrospective.
Can you guys explain it real quick? I think I have watched people play it, but just jog my memory.
All you, Griff.
Okay, it is a trivia game produced by the You Don't Know Jack people, where you and a group of friends are answering trivia questions by lying to each other and trying to create a lie
sounds
believable while simultaneously guessing the truth and avoiding the other player's lie and the computer's lie.
That looks super fun.
It is so much fun. It the way that I like to describe it is it's Cards Against Humanity, but you write every card.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You just pushed all the buttons in Jamie's brain.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and then the second best thing about it is you play it with a phone or a tablet. So if you are in like a party game situation with a bunch of people over, everybody can just pull out their phones and play. You can have tons of players. And then the other best thing about that is then people aren't on their phones because you have to be using it to interact with the game.
All right, I'm giving it to Fibbage. That sounds amazing. Tower, and then it will be, Towerfall and Mario Kart.
Amazing!
All right, great.
You did it, Jamie.
You nailed it.
Woo!
You
because that sounds
category.
Incredible. That sounds. Yeah. Okay. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Never played it, but it wins.
Okay.
Anyway.
Where'd we leave off before we got into this?
We
jump back to Mechanic of the Year, I think, if we're going
we got
in
more
order
than
here.
Mario.
More than I expected.
Mario is the Mechanic of the Year.
Okay.
Get it?
In the list of for Mechanic, that's pretty good, Jamie. he's, yeah.
Wait, I don't get it.
It's like if a mechanic of pipes.
Oh my god, you goddamn genius.
on this list here, we have the Nemesis system from Shadow of Mordor, Titanfall from Titanfall, mobility in an FPS with two games
from
sharing
nerds.
Titanfall and Call of Duty Advanced Wars. I put in the time rewinding feature of Super Time Force, and then the Dex Nav from Pokemon Alpha, whatever, Omega, Ruby, Sapphire. Any late additions?
Dragon Age.
No.
Griffin's had enough. No more Dragon Age.
I can't abide any more Dragon Age.
The nipple system is revolutionary.
Shut up.
Iron Bull has some beautiful nips. Though they are dinner plate size.
Yeah.
Nemesis system, real quick, guys. What do you guys think of that system?
That game sucks.
Yep. I think. Really? Wow.
Go ahead.
Think it sucked, Griff? No.
No, I thought the Nemesis system was really cool. It just would have been a better thing in a different game.
No,
I think the Nemesis system was the shining glory of that game. Absolutely. It's just I don't give an F about Lord of the Rings, and I think that game as a whole was kind of boring.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well said, Griffin. Yeah. Nemesis system was cool. I'm going to go ahead and say it wasn't necessarily of a shining glory, but it was kind of cool. When I mess with the Nemesis system, I wasn't like, next gen is here. I was like, this is neat.
Right. There's a lot of things, though, that I'm like, man, this game would be really cool if they put the Nemesis system in it.
Hmm. Like?
Like if they made Bully 2 and it used the Nemesis system. Or if the game actually came out like it was supposed to be and it was in a Batman game and the Nemesis system wasn't that.
They should put the three protagonists in Bully 2. Hmm? Yep.
What are you talking about?
Three male protagonists in Bully 2 that you can switch between.
Oh, yeah. 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 I'll make one female. Let's throw him a bone.
No, we don't have the bunny for that in the animation.
No, I mean throw a bone.
Oh, I get you.
You know,
switch,
switch between it.
Good old Tits McGee, right? Mm-hmm. Every time you switch over to her, she's just having it with a man.
Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes a lady. You're real lucky.
All right, she's sassy. All right. I don't know. I think Nemesis system is pretty damn cool.
Okay. It's worthwhile.
If there is one really awesome part about that game, it's that part.
Okay. What else on here is worthwhile?
Definitely not the... Well, shoot. I don't know.
Are you going to get rid of the Dex Nav?
That was my gut, but isn't that the best thing about Pokemon Alpha and Omega?
Pretty much. One day they're going to actually let you encounter Pokemon just wandering around rather than jumping out of the tall grass.
Yeah. We'll all be dead by that point, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think the Dex Nav was really cool, being able to kind of change the way that you interact with Pokemon and kind of be able to cherry pick what you're finding. And then it also made searching for Pokemon a lot easier.
And it also lets you get cool stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily get, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Like adding,
it's just very rewarding in pretty much every way possible.
Yeah.
It's that great mechanic where it gives you lots of rewards and it doesn't feel onerous to execute it. Like, it just happens.
Well, that's, I think, where I disagree with you. I think that having to slow down and sneak up and then, check out the Pokemon and say, oh, okay, is this one I care about? I think it's a cool mechanic, but it just gets so, it just gets beaten down so hard by the already existing poor mechanics of the Pokemon game, like having to switch your party members, the terrible capacity to catch Pokemon in a simplistic manner. I think it just
I feel like all those things are fine.
Okay. All right.
Forever. Until the end of time.
Oh, you're joking. Okay, great.
The perfect game. No, I don't know if I'm joking or not. I don't know. Some of those things are bad, but I wouldn't want to change the core battling mechanics, and anything that would alter those would be disappointing to me.
Change it.
Because I like them as they are.
No, you don't.
I really do.
What if
thing I would want to get rid of is the awful EV-IV thing that's a pain in the ass. But everything else should stay exactly the same.
Yeah.
Exactly.
definitely. Nintendo, never change.
We can cut it if you want. I like it, though.
I don't know if I'm ready yet, because I think it's pretty cool. Jamie, yeah. Titanfall, you really liked that game a lot this year.
I did. I mean, it waned after a while, but... So, like, what mechanic were you thinking of when you put that on here?
Titanfall?
Like just the mechs and the verticality and everything.
Not the verticality. Literally pressing the button that says "drop Titanfall. My big ass mech into this battlefield," and then you climb up into it, and then you get out of it, and it's your little AI buddy.
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. I think that they implemented it well. They somehow drew really smart levels around the fact that that would be happening, so that when you are in the Titan, the levels don't seem too big when you're not in the Titan, and the levels like are somehow traversable when you're in the Titan as well. But I don't know. That was pretty awesome. And I really like you guys, neither of you ever owned it, right?
No.
Okay, so
well, Griff played it though.
I played it a lot.
We recorded a video.
We did.
Okay, I must have been dead. And then, so there's you can jump onto someone else's Titan and mm-hmm. shoot it in the face, and if you do that, it will die pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They add on.
They can get out of that Titan and shoot you off it.
Yeah, they can get out of the Titan. They can shoot you off it. You get a perk. Pretty early on, where if you think someone's about to jump on your Titan, you can release like nerve gas onto them, and
you can release the Kraken.
Okay, that sounds right.
Like electric gas. Electric-y gas. So they keep putting in these checks and balances that make the system work better. That's what I'll say for it. It seemed like a lot of thought went to every aspect of that game.
For sure.
Can that one win?
No.
Fuck.
Oh, do you just want to get this over, Jeff?
No, I actually think that one, I think that's really cool.
I should maybe take that back then. I think that the more appealing part of those games is the mobility that they give you, which I think then does kind of go hand in hand with the Titanfall.
Yeah.
Like when I wrote the Titanfall portion here, what I kind of was intending was just like literally dropping that big mech into the battlefield as your killstreak perk.
No. The whole shebang of battle.
Okay, so Titanfall Titans would be a better.
Yeah, because I don't think.
But
that's...
also the moving part.
Both.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, well, I think those are separate mechanics. So I think like mobility. Introduced into mainstream FPSs is very much separate from like the Titans of Titanfall.
If I were going to put something on this category, just to make this even more confusing, is I would specifically hone in on the fact that the levels are fun whether you're in a Titan or whether you're not. Like, I don't know how to describe that as like a mechanic. Like, it's part level design, part like just thinking about the mechanics of the Titan. But like, I don't know. No. What's happening?
Damn it. There you go.
Griffin just put Jamie Tomb Raider for no reason.
Because Tomb Raider is going to win this. Listen, Tomb Raider, there's arrows. You can set them on fire.
The mechanic of the year is Tomb Raider, stemming from Tomb Raider.
The December 2013 Tomb Raider port wins Game of the Year 2014.
Yep.
Okay, so can Titanfall win in some way or another? Because that was a cool game in terms of mechanics, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I mean, I guess... if you want, I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. You want to distinguish, but do you think there's any other big contender other than one of those Titanfall things, Griff?
Do like I think there's another running? Big contender? I don't think the timer running portion of Super Time Force wins. I think
plus
there's a really
wait
cool...
till it's actually released next year for PS4.
The old Spelunky, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it wins. It's a cool mechanic, and I like the with the when they first showed that game off, it was like you can interact with your character in after they die. Mm-hmm. But one of the tweaks they did to it is if you save them, you can then collect them and then use their power up going forward. So you have both like heavy machine gun and rocket launcher because you managed to save them from death in the time stream. And it just ends up making like absolutely insane boss battles and level progression. And just like a whole cool, crazy mess of gameplay. So, it's a really cool mechanic, utilizing time stuff and how much you can do it. It's like, holy crap. I can't believe how many things they just have on screen going here.
Can't wait till that game comes out next year.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually, I played that at PAX a couple years ago and I really liked it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So you think, so when you say Titanfall stuff should win.
Tomb Raider is what I mean.
Do you think that Pokemon Dexnav doesn't rate?
It's pretty cool, but knowing the Pokemon people, they'll just drop it in the next iteration and pretend it never happened.
Okay. Like the Pokewalker, that brilliant piece of game design.
Yeah, I'm not really. I think the Dexnav is way cooler than the Pokewalker. If you guys don't want it to be there for some reason, if it's going to get crowded out, I'm okay with it. I'm also fine with it not winning because actually seeing monsters in the wild is hardly novel. Although I think it's really cool that you get egg moves because it feels. I just think it feels really rewarding all the time. But
I think that in the same respect, Jeff, as a person who's not as in deep in the Pokemon world, it's cool because I don't know what egg moves are, and it's like, hey, that's a different Pokemon than what I normally see, so therefore it's cooler. Like I'm appreciating the same thing that you get out of finding these things in the wild, but at a much more superficial level.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't really. I'm not deeply invested in where that thing lands in the end. So I'll let you guys figure out the last couple bits here. Because again, I don't think Nemesis should win, though.
Okay.
I don't.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. Because I do think it's a cool system and it's a unique idea, but
it felt superficial so fast.
Yeah. It's not like any of that actually changes anything.
Well, I disagree, but I think that. I disagree that it doesn't change anything, but I do agree that it's not my favorite thing with how they implemented it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you stab a guy in the face, he comes back and he's like, "Oi, no, I can't get stabbed in the face because I had this metal plate in my eye." And you're like, that's the worst contrivance of the entire world. But then on the other hand, it's like, okay, this is how we deal with death in a very interesting way in video games.
Yeah. No, it was charming at times. It just... I think much like everything else in that game, it kind of just quickly gave way to the hollowness that I felt inside every night.
Yeah. However, it did lead to a lot of really cool things. You know, it reminded me a lot of like Left 4 Dead style moments where you're fighting a guy, like you stab a guy in the bushes and you're like, okay, I'm going after this jerk because he killed me before. And then two other jerks just roll up and you're like, oh crap. Now I've got this huge, crazy, you know, beatdown that's going on. And then on the other side of it, like, you've run into two guys fighting each other, and then you wait for one to kill the other guy, and then you just run up and stab the other guy in the back when he's super weak, and you're like, ha 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 ha, suck it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely led to some interesting emergent moments. Mm-hmm. I think with a better developer working on it, maybe that would have turned into something cooler. But I think we have to look at the actual implementation in the game and recognize how underwhelming it was. I think it deserves to be up here, but I don't think it deserves to win.
I honestly think
that that mobility, as someone who doesn't really like FPSs that much, I think that whatever was going on in Titanfall is the thing that is the most interesting thing that was going on this year for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm still torn because I think there's a difference between mobility and FPS and the Titans of Titanfall.
Like Natalie Imbruglia style torn?
Yeah.
No one gets, damn it. What were you guys listening to in the 90s?
You don't remember
Madonna's second comeback.
You don't remember my upbringing, Jamie, do you?
No.
My parents and family. What were my resources for this? I mean if they're gonna be separate, that's fine. I'm gonna say the mobility is better. I don't know.
Okay.
I say mobility, yeah.
I think mobility is better because I know you guys both like Mirror's Edge quite a bit.
Yeah, hell of a game.
And implementing that in a way where combat is actually fun and not super frustrating like it was in Mirror's Edge is really cool. And I think that Titanfall did that extremely well, and Call of Duty did it all right to a much lesser extent. But if that becomes the new trend and fad in games, I think that'd be awesome.
I agree. Mobility is better than Titans dropping to the ground.
Great. Perfect. What about Dexstaff? Where does that sit?
I don't know.
Fuck it. Great. All right. FPSs win.
Are we cutting Dexstaff?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine, I guess. Yeah.
Dexstaff, we'd love to see again. But also, you know, maybe change some other Pokemon stuff.
Disappointment of the year.
Oh, yeah.
We're cutting quick now because we're getting close to that lengthy
yeah,
2.5 hour mark.
Exactly.
All right. Destiny, Griffin, I know it took a lot to put that.
It did. I really struggled to get that one on there.
Amiibo, fuck you.
Jeff, I also know that took a lot for you to put that on there.
I didn't put that on there.
As the original hipster hater of Amiibos, Jeff, shouldn't you?
I should. No, we're going to talk about that in a second. I put Broken Games Galore in here, though, replacing just AC Unity, because it wasn't just that. It was also Halo, Master Chief, Drive Club. I put Dragon Age, but it was fine for me.
Yeah, Dragon Age is not, it's not broken.
It's not broken, ass broken, like those three games are.
Yeah.
I don't know what both Borderlands... Oh, Tales from the Borderlands, probably, right? Didn't people love that game?
Why did I write both Borderlands?
I don't know.
Because of the Vita port and the pre-sequel.
The Borderlands, though.
The Vita. Well, I didn't play that one, so I don't really know.
All right. Borderlands, Vita, and pre-sequel. Just Ubisoft. What is that doing there? Just their output?
Yeah, pretty much. Constantly cranking out, like, the same game year after year, Assassin's Creed Unity being kind of horseshit. From what I understand, the crew being kind of the same archetype. What was their other game? Honestly, Far Cry being a good game, but it kind of just being the same game as last year or 2 years ago.
There's something else on this list at one point that you just took right off it.
Me?
That was the undisputed winner. Were the most disappointing thing.
No, that's
this entire year.
That does not deserve to be acknowledged because it's so disgusting.
It goes far beyond disappointment. It's just disgrace.
Yeah, it's awful. But this is more like centric to game development and game stuff.
Okay, here's why Amiibo aren't disappointing, because they look really cool.
They do. They do look really cool.
Yeah, they're good looking. They're better than I thought.
They're really rare, and you have to get them all, or else you're not going to be... nobody's going to like
you. Or else
your
wife will leave you.
Yeah. Guys. Rosalina. I need her.
Oh, man. And, like, you can take their butts and put it in your cat's face.
You really can.
Yeah.
I've looked at Captain Falcon's butt so many times.
And also, you can keep them in the box and pretend like there's a reason for that.
I'm keeping Pitt in the box. The moment that man shows up, keep that little stupid angel in there. Probably going to open it.
Okay. You just got to touch it.
So Amiibo sold really well, and I kind of like them, even though I hate myself for liking them. So I can't rightly say they're a disappointment.
But I thought that one of your major points about them was their functionality.
Oh, I always knew it was going to be the worst. It pretty much met expectations there. I wasn't disappointed.
Okay. That's fine, I guess, if you're viewing it that way. All right, how about Nintendo's inability to ship quantities to fans who want to buy them?
I would vote for that one.
Creating scarcity. Artificial scarcity.
Hold on. My cat's being crazy. It's bad. Yeah, it's bad.
Give that cat a falcon butt.
But also, it's the thrill of the hunt. You get it. Come on.
You need this so bad.
How else are you going to distinguish yourself from everyone else?
What hole is this filling? Literally.
They'll see. They'll all see.
I'm going to take Borderlands Vita and Borderlands pre-sequel off this list. Because
yep, got it.
Though those games were disappointing, I mean, Vita was pretty bad.
Yep.
Pretty damn bad.
Yep.
There's other bad stuff here, too.
Yeah. I feel like Broken Games takes it, because that's just bad.
I agree.
Broken Glaims?
I think Broken Glaims are easily the most offensive thing that happened this year.
Yep. I just think having mostly Halo and Drive Club. Is Drive Club like functional now?
I think it is functional, yes. But I don't think that we have our free version yet.
I know that Halo is still not functional.
Yeah.
And then Bonnie Ross wrote that letter where she, I don't know if she managed to slip in her deep commitment to the lore or not, but I hope she did. But
she wrote it in a journal. She wrote it in the Master Chief's doctor's journal.
Her Master Chief helmet journal.
Yeah. She wrote it in a cat's head.
Where they had to give people a free game. And I think it still doesn't work, right? Probably. It's still broken, a month later.
I hear matchmaking is still tough.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Well, that just leaves three options here.
Sure does. Oh, you cut Ubisoft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Broken games, I think, more so than anything.
I mean, they did have some aggressively middling content this year, but, you know.
But so have other people.
Yeah, I was going to say. You can just say everyone is a great category.
it's just a bad year for video games.
Video games. The videos. Broken Games. Amiibo are a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Just Nintendo and their inability to stock things like GameCube adapters and stuff.
Yeah. That's know what their fans want.
Yep. But, you know.
Or when the fans, like, do clearly demonstrate a desire, just not like doing anything about that.
Well, that's because the fans are wrong.
They Project don't know what
Waterfall.
They want.
Project Waterfall 2.0.
Okay. So I think we did the disappointment of the year. That was quick and easy.
That was pretty easy. Destiny wins. I mean, Broken Games galore wins.
I don't even think I like Destiny. Like, is that a disappointment? I mean, it looks. I have no interest in owning it. I mean, I enjoyed playing the alpha and beta. I don't know. Is that a disappointment?
It's the most disappointing. It's extremely disappointing because once you played that alpha and beta, it was completely obvious that this game was only that.
Yeah, and it was not what it was trumped up to be.
Yeah, it's like the grandiose science sci-fi epic shooter story arc that they were promising, and the narrative through gun design and character creation that they were telling for years just was completely trivialized. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's all super bullshit.
Yeah. But I was gonna say not a sales disappointment. That's for sure.
No. And
was critical disappointment.
Kind of fun. Yeah, but whatever. Anyway,
I enjoyed that album with you guys. I feel like I was the only one who wanted to keep playing.
Yeah. Hey, I've got the full game. If you want to play some more, do you want to play some more?
Do you have the alpha still?
I have. Yes, technically yes. I don't think we have.
I don't think we ever killed that thing that had like a gazillion HP.
We killed all the things, Jeff.
Oh, we killed all the things. Okay,
yeah, we did.
All right. Narrative of the year.
Yeah.
Griff, you want
to? I don't even know if I want to do this one.
Yeah.
Is this just going to be the same fight that we had before?
I don't think it is. I'm gonna not say Dragon Age. I don't think Dragon Age has the narrative of the year.
Okay. So we have listed here story narrative of the year, and the list is Transistor, Wolfenstein, A New Order, and The New Order, and South Park, The Stick of Truth, and Dragon Age Inquisition.
Jamie?
I think that Dragon Age has it. but I didn't finish it. I don't know what happens.
Sure. I don't think it does. I don't think it does because I think it's got some cool moments, but I don't think it's like a tight narrative game.
Got it.
Why? What is like not tied up for you?
It's
because it's slow as fuck.
I think the core plot is not that interesting. I think that it's just a bad guy that you kill. I think the coolest part is the character interactions and the lore and the world, which is fleshed out a lot by books and stories. I don't think that the actual, like, I don't think if you just looked at the main quest missions, you would be like, wow, that's a really interesting.
But I don't read the book. Like, I've never read a book in the game. Like, I don't really pay attention to like the side
me
stuff.
Either.
I kind of just, I like the main story.
I like it. I'm not sure it's amazing, but I don't know if I have anything else to vote for because I haven't played any of those other games. So I guess we are really back where we were again. Fuck.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same situation where the real answer is Wolfenstein.
It's Mario Kart 8.
There's no Mario Kart to save us
this time. It's Mario Kart 8. Listen. Mario is done saving the princess for the umpteenth time. Why not celebrate with a racing tournament? Yeah, I don't know. I think that Dragon Age.
I think that Corypheus is a cool villain. I think that I like how the story started out in a completely different place, and you kind of end up facing him. The side missions that I've done and the optional missions on the war room table or whatever it's called that I do that involve him are pretty cool. Like, I like figuring out what his name is. I like how Dorian's interested in that.
I totally agree with you about all this, but I don't think that the core, I don't know how else to describe this. I feel like the vignettes are cool. I've enjoyed all the vignettes. I feel like I could never award best story or narrative to a Western RPG because they all are like, by their very nature, they're all kind of formless at points. I don't know how else to describe that. They're not tight because they have to not be tight.
Right. Because you have to have that wiggle room to go off and do side quests.
For some reason, I felt that much more acutely with the Mass Effect series than I did in this game.
It's so much better because it's like, well, there is no rush to go do this stuff. But they immediately hit you with what's going on. Whereas Dragon Age, I'm like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't care why I'm here. So why do I even want to be here?
See, I agree with Jamie that it's not as acute in this game. I just think that if you look at the story beats only, like just the main plot story beats, which forms, I think, the core of the narrative, it's not that exciting. It's just like, it's cool. Like
the time
cool
when you
moments.
Go back in time?
That's super cool. But it's
that's a core story beat.
Yeah.
I think you're just weirdly trying to appease.
Are you talking about Dragon Age or are you talking about Skyrim?
No, we're talking about Dragon Age.
Oh, I
are
was
you
confused.
Being a joke, sir? Griffin, are you
yeah,
making
it
funny?
Yeah, I was making a joke. Okay,
yeah, they're real funny. No, I love Dragon Age, and I'm not trying to appease Griffin. I actually feel this way. And here's the thing. I can't choose anything else because I don't And I don't think I think maybe we just skip this for now, or we don't even bother.
Burn
because
it.
Yeah, we'd probably burn it with fire because it's kind of a silly topic.
So, unless we just say it's Transistor. I mean, but that would be crazy, right? Who would pick that? Crazy people.
We're not going to do that again.
No.
I don't feel like the story specifically is the highest point in that game. I honestly feel that way.
It's pretty. There's other games with good stories, though.
Maybe. I haven't played them, so I don't know. Jamie is speechless.
I don't think South Park wins.
I'm capturing a keep right now.
Let's skip it.
I'm willing to throw this category away for the sole purpose of proving it's not Dragon Age Inquisition. I will sacrifice two very good games for the sake of killing one.
I think we accept that trade.
I am the true Solomon's baby winner. I win. It's both. Now I get both. It's Transistor and Wolfenstein.
I've accepted that prisoner exchange. Let's finish this damn thing.
Okay.
This whole thing is Sophie's choice. It's always Sophie's choice. I'm glad to say that because I'm Jewish.
Wait, but there was nothing Jewish in that.
Wait, isn't that a Jewish thing?
I don't think so.
No.
She wanted a potholder. He wanted a yarmulke. They bought it for each other and then got really confused, right? That's how this story goes.
That's Gift of the Magi, first of all.
Oh, shit.
Some perverse, weird version of it. Also, that was a book about, like, philosophy. Sophie's choice, that is. Maybe she's Jewish, though. I don't know. I'll find out.
I don't know.
I don't think so, though.
Well, speaking of categories that we don't really have a good sense of, best art.
Oh, fuck. There's concentration camps. You're right, Jamie.
God. Yeah. So if you guys had said that without me on the podcast, you'd be dead.
Yeah, probably. But it's not specifically about Jews. Anyway, what we're talking about?
On the best art category, we have Bravely Default, Jazz Punk, Transistor, Mario Kart 8. Does anything else go on this best art?
Jamie, just plug Dragon Age.
Dragon Age. There's dragons.
I'm gonna
you guys
check
seen them?
I'm checking real quick. I don't think there was anything else that really jumped out at me, Griffin.
Yeah. Oh, well, Transistor.
It's on there.
It's on there.
Good.
Yep. Amiibo? Does that win, Jeff? Does Amiibo win?
Binding of Isaac for the D-make?
If I don't think you guys probably put
Amiibo.
No, why can't my brain?
Think about
I'm
it.
Tired.
Think
Monument?
About it a little bit.
Well, if Monument's not on there, Monument should be on there. And Monument. Also the other one that I like, the Hitman's.
Hotman. I'm a Hotman Go.
Hotman Go. Kathmandu. Hotman Go. Monument Valley. Monument Valley had a pretty fantastic art direction. Yeah, I don't think Bravely Default is the best work by Akihiko Yoshida or whatever that guy's name is.
Okay. Get rid of it. I mean, I would say, though, that it was, to me, as a person who didn't really like the game, it was the biggest takeaway as to what was the coolest about it.
Yeah, but Four Heroes of Light looked better.
Okay. Didn't play it, so don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Jazz Punk? I really like Jazz Punk.
Me too.
Yeah.
Pretty. I just think it's one of the most unique in terms of just, like, how it managed to achieve its weird aesthetic, even though it was like not particularly well, like it's like really basic building blocks for a really cool aesthetic, I thought. So I think it deserves some kind of recognition.
For sure.
Transistor's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Amiibo have some nice asses.
The Amiibo's best quality is how good they look.
This is true. It's all they got going for them. Are they a game, though? Since we've established that their actual game functions are the worst.
Well, this category doesn't say anything about game. All it says is best art, Jeff.
Leonardo da Vinci. Van Gogh.
That guy who makes my sushi.
My dad wants to go to Jiro's restaurant.
Oh,
isn't that
course.
Horrendously expensive?
Of course,
probably.
Oops, totally. Does, speaking of misspelled words, does Danganronpa get in here, Jeff?
Probably not. What do you think?
I think it was cool. Had a good style.
All right, throw it on there.
All right.
It's got that. I mean, I'm always a sucker for like really angular anime people, but I didn't personally feel like it brought anything really incredible to the field in terms of art direction.
I liked the blood. I liked how it was the neon color that they did. And I thought that the kind of paper cutout anime characters in the 3D space was kind of cute. And then
the pop-ups, yeah,
the FMV stuff was really cool too.
Oh yeah, that was pretty neat. Yeah, it was cool. It was definitely heavily stylized. I like that style, so that's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yep.
Put it on, then we cut it.
I think so.
Okay, great.
if that's okay with you.
Sure. Yeah, of course. For sure.
Okay. I think Monument probably should be on here. That game, it even has a screenshot function to let you take scenes from the game, and like it has an inbuilt screenshot function because it knows how awesome it looks.
It's yeah.
Like, make me your iPad background.
That's my pick, I think.
Okay.
My pick for winner.
What about Hotman Go, Jimmy?
I say scratch it.
Yeah, you can cut it if you want. It had a
perfect
cool board game thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely achieved what it set out to do. I don't know. It looks like a board game, but it also looks like a really plasticky, not detailed board game.
I kind of liked how plasticky it looked, but I feel you. That's why it's gone.
So we have Monuments still staying there. Grandpa's getting cut. Yeah, you got it, Griff. Yep. Jazz Punk Transistor Mario Kart.
Okay with that list. Just as you said it, Jeff.
Wait, nope. Monument has to be in there somewhere.
Oh, shoot. Well, now
pretty
I don't know.
Pretty high up there. Monument's really damn pretty. It looks.
Yeah. I really appreciated the art in Jazz Punk. Those two, if I could make it a tie, I'd make it a tie between those two.
Me too.
Just because I feel like I'd really never. I feel
they're
like
so different.
Older games have hinted at the style that Jazz Punk like epitomized, but nothing has ever come close to doing that as well as it does.
Okay.
But for me, it's definitely Monument Valley because it's so simple, but I felt so pulled into those tiny little environments. Everything is so, it's like a simplicity that belies like a deep intricacy that plays out as you play the game. And I really like that about it.
Yeah. It's a really tough one for me too. I don't know which one I like better. I really don't. They're both really great.
Which ones, Jeff?
I feel like it's like choosing between the traditionally beautiful and wonderful thing and like the quirky but also beautiful thing.
Hmm.
I don't know what to do.
You're saying Monument Valley and Hitman era and Jazz Punk, right?
Yep. Yep.
So like then that leaves Transistor and Mario Kart 8 as the two that we don't know where they fit.
Yeah. Someone else choose that.
I think Transistor is beautiful.
I
would go with that.
That Mario Kart 8 for its art will get its due later.
Okay, cut it then.
Okay. I mean, for what we want to specifically say about... We cover the art in Game of the Year. Yeah, it's pretty freaking awesome looking.
Yeah,
and
it really is.
The one really goofy, memorable thing we'll talk about here in just a moment.
Okay. That ends it, right? Oh, there's one more after that, and we're done.
Monument Valley wins, right, guys? Right?
I think so.
Perfect.
I think so, too.
Okay.
But Jazz Punk is, like, the closest second of all time.
Yeah.
God, that game is good. I'm so glad that that is a thing. Definitely needs to be. Hmm. Everyone needs to play it.
Yes.
Monument Valley, which you just said was all right before? Not life-changing, just good?
No. Jazz Punk.
Oh, Jazz Punk. Okay.
Monument Valley is a great game.
Okay.
I still stand by not being life-changing, but for me, that doesn't mean that it's not superlative.
Okay. Sorry.
Still superlative.
So next category we have here is most memorable moment in games of 2014.
Dragons.
Dragon Age Dragons.
Great. Awesome.
Griffin can't escape. Tell me about the... Okay, I'm going to skip the afterburner because I'm assuming Bayonetta 2 does an afterburner thing.
Yep, sure does.
Yeah, kind of like the first one doing the thing it did.
Yeah, the first one did Space Harrier and Motorcycle Fun.
Yeah.
But the afterburner was actually fun.
Okay, okay. Yeah, was that... Okay, tell me about the Dark Souls 2 Pursuer real quick. I remember
Hello?
The Pursuer.
Yeah, I think that was the most... Just like moment of super cool in that game. Jeff, if you remember it, Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, good.
it was that moment when you get kind of into your first area that's beyond the comfort zone of the little like camp zone town, and you blow up in the side of that wall or you climb up the thing, and there's like that jerk sitting on top of the parapet, or the not the parapet, but like the elevated level of the stone keep you're walking around, and he throws bombs at you, and you're like, well, F you guy, I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to climb this dumb ladder. And then you run at him, and you dispatch him, and then all of a sudden, in the horizon, there is an eagle carrying a dude in gigantic gold or silver armor who lands in front of you, and then you engage in a boss fight earlier than you should in a game, and you can actually kill him there.
Can I tell you what ruined that moment for me completely?
What?
I accidentally jumped off the edge of the thing, not dying, just off the edge of that thing, while he was being dropped, and then he left immediately.
Really?
And never to return.
Ah. All right.
Did you have that experience, Griff?
And I did. I had that experience.
You died to him because the Pursuer is hard as balls the first time you play him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty sweet boss.
It was
though.
A pretty cool moment. I mean, it was a pretty cool moment.
I'm sad I missed it. Sounds pretty cool.
Okay. Well, also on this list, we have the Broken Age ending. Broken Age Part 1, the ending of that.
Jamie, did you beat Broken Age?
Yes.
Okay.
I like the ending.
It was a solid ending. Good,
I mean, pretty awesome ending where it's like, hey, both things are tied together.
Yes.
It's not different locations. It's the same thing.
That was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Mostly I was just like, that game's over.
I'm going to nominate the ending of Dragon Age.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It was really cool when you killed Corypheus.
Yeah.
Remember, Jeff?
I do.
Listen, I'm going to nominate the ending of Dragon Age Inquisition because I read about it, and I'm going to tell you how it ends right here.
No, don't do it. I'm just joking. I'm not going to nominate any moment from Dragon Age. Don't worry.
Listen, Griffin, if we find out how it ends, that's going to ruin everything we've done up until now.
Exactly. Like all this time that I've spent, I'm just going to regret it.
I'll tell you this. It sounded kind of good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm kind of excited. Okay.
Corypheus opens a Starbucks location in one of your keeps.
In jest, I wrote Destiny the Moon Wizard.
I don't know why you jest. That was a memorable moment to me.
I guess that's true. It was a pretty awesome moment.
We're looking at a weird year. Just let it happen.
Okay,
Griff.
That's true. Yeah. Keeping it. All right. Jazz Punk, Wedding Quake. I don't know if there's other Jazz Punk moments for you guys, but that was one of the best for me.
I'm with you.
Great. Yeah, that was pretty great.
I also really liked the aerosolized cheese, and I liked blowing the Captain Crunch whistle to make the phone call.
Yes.
That was such a great game.
Yeah. Also, the Wave Race Gravy Boat game was pretty freaking awesome, too. Now that I'm thinking about
it. Except it was kind of the worst because it could not control very well.
Yeah, that's true.
When the pigeons took that guy's head off. That was kind of cool.
I just love everything about that game. What about when you swat the geishas and they turn into flies?
Yeah. Do we just take off Wedding Quake and just leave Jazz Punk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's the right choice.
And I think Jazz Punk probably clinches it.
I think you're right. With honorable mention being Luigi Death Stare, for sure.
Yes! Wolfenstein Internment Camps. Are those memorable enough to merit a mention as well?
Only in that... conversely, from Jazz Punk, I think that the internment camp was really cool, but there were too many parts laid out across one level. Like, if this was coolest level or coolest sequence or something like that, then yes. There was just, like... In my opinion, there was, like, made three beats there that were really cool, and to compress them all into one, I think, is not doing... it's not fair.
Okay.
Yeah. But Jazz Punk.
Jazz Punk. I mean, that's a short game. I mean, come on. It's just a few hours.
Right. So we'll cross that one out.
Okay. I think it got its due as well.
I think you're right.
We'll get its due when we discuss Game of the Year.
So now we have Jazz Punk, which wins, I guess, pretty handily. Luigi Death Stare, which is a lock. And our third runner-up is that one little bit of dialogue and the zeitgeist that surrounds that better than the Broken Age ending, Dark Souls 2 Pursuer, and something in Bayonetta 2. I'm okay with saying yes.
I'm okay with it, too.
Great.
It was a pretty decent Broken Age ending, though.
It was, yeah.
It almost redeemed some things that were irking me by the time I finished. Almost.
Almost.
It definitely made me say, I'm ready to play this next game. But then it also made me say, fuck this game for making me wait, because this was only supposed to be one game.
Yep. we only have... Oh, you crossed off Worst Trend.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Okay. I'm looking at them right now.
I think everything in that list was things we've already touched on.
Yep, except everybody making the MOBA is pretty much the worst. Guys, MOBAs are the worst.
Yeah, except that nobody's really doing that anymore. Now they're incorporating MOBA elements into games, but I don't know if that's the worst thing yet.
You know who's doing that? Gearbox.
Your mom?
Gearbox.
Oh, yeah. But who knows? I mean, saying something is terrible without actually seeing it. I don't want to go that far.
Most improved. Never done.
Tomb Raider.
Great. Nailed it. Didn't even think of that one. Game on. We got it.
I feel like I had more to bring to this, but as the late hours approach... I'll just say what my concept was on this.
Jeff, can I maybe X this category out and just turn this over to a commentary about next year? And maybe you can discuss your apprehension about a certain video game company then?
Sure.
Okay.
I
think that'd be better. So
that'd be, good for sanity.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Yeah, free flow, baby.
Free flow.
Oh, yeah. Talk about your stuff. So I guess
you gonna start this freestyle, or
yes, I would love to. I'm going to start this freestyle by ending it and saying, "Hey, that was our list of awards for video games in 2014. Once again, awesome year. Thanks, guys. This has been a ton of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Much.
Thank you, Laura Croft and Iron Bull, for being staples in my life." Despite my thoughts, I think a good way to end all of this is to quickly maybe lay some thoughts down about 2015, get some things off our chest that normally this
I'm
would
gay
be...
I was gonna say mom dad I'm gay.
Normally this would be the most anticipated game of 2015 category,
Bloodborne,
but because that almost universally results in a failure and complete disappointment, I'm going to trash that category. And instead,
Bloodborne.
Let's just maybe talk about things that we're interested in next year and apprehensions that we have about next year.
Mega Man and Evo.
Final Fantasy 15, because it's going to suck.
Oh, God.
It's gonna suck so bad.
Yep.
But it looks like it has just enough to make me think like, what the hell are they doing? And then I'm like, maybe they know what they're doing, because I definitely don't know what they're doing.
Why are you saying it so well?
I don't know.
I feel like they put just enough bizarre imagery in that trailer to make me really excited.
Yep.
On a completely irrational level.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm ready to have hope and then have hope squashed again.
Yep.
Gonna happen. We yep. all know. Yeah. So the thing, I can just say the thing I was going to say earlier.
Go for it, please. Yeah.
Okay.
Lay it out there.
I'm thinking, Nintendo's not back yet.
What?
Cause they really aren't, but they did have one profitable quarter.
Woo!
That's all. That's
but
really,
what about,
that's really
but,
all I was say.
But what about all the great games this year that they have?
I feel like there's nothing in their future. I have no idea what that company does.
Star Fox. Question mark?
Star Fox. I want to find out how much they sold this holiday, because the way I see it, their handheld business is not doing so well in the U.S. Just kind of going ever farther down in terms of sales, and Wii U's not doing so hot. No Western third parties to speak of.
No.
Care about them anymore. I think they're the ones to watch. They're not Death Watch at all, but they're definitely got a long road ahead of them. Microsoft did pretty well, though.
Jeff, sure. What does the current status of the Wii Universe? What is it?
Miiverse?
The Miiverse. How telling is that of the current Nintendo status?
Oh God, you mean like the desolate landscape of Miiverse? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Yeah. They probably had a good holiday, but I just worry about the long-term prospects for the, well, not long-term prospects, but I see a number of dark years ahead. But hey, there was a rumor on NeoGAF at their next console. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, two actually. So
I'm also worried that all the bros are just going to start buying Xboxes now.
All the bros.
I did it wrong.
Chose wrong. There's no going back. Your pony's hitched and you can't jump ship.
No, my one retail PS4 game.
Back
what
it
will t- I do?
Back it till the end, just like PS3.
No. It's pretty interesting that they that at 350 Xbox One sold really well.
I'm most interested in seeing what happens with the pricing. Yeah.
Yeah, price still rules, so that'll be interesting. That'll be something to watch, I think.
Yep. Because you know what? The games sure aren't.
Yeah. Also, I feel like it kind of proves the statement that Iwata, going back to Nintendo again, made long ago, which is basically that eventually having the same games on two different consoles is just going to result in a race to the bottom on pricing and will lead to an unsustainable model. So I'm kind of keeping my eye on that one as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's all I got.
Video games are dead.
Yep.
Look at Sonic.
I'm dead.
That guy's dead.
Yeah.
I would like to once again, for the second year in a row, say I'm extremely excited about Metal Gear Solid 5. Hopefully it doesn't turn out to be Ground Zeroes this year. Also excited about 2015.
Yes. Luigi has gracefully stepped aside.
Do not mention those. Don't sully the year. Don't sully my year with bringing him into this.
Luigi can only improve your year.
Well, that's true, I guess. Can't go any lower than that.
Have you checked out his amiibo yet, Griff?
Maybe.
With the exercise machine that he's working out on?
What are you talking about?
Have you seen it? He's fallen over onto an exercise machine.
What?
Oh, you mean his dick stand?
Yeah. He's working.
Oh, okay.
He's working on his glutes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He's a weird dude.
He is. I'm excited for MGS5 as well.
Yeah, me too.
Probably more than I should be.
It looks really good.
Why does the lady with the boobies have a man face? Sometimes.
Why are people saying Keith or Sutherland is delivering a good performance?
I don't know. That's a mystery. Somebody said that?
People are. I think it's just the Dragon Age problem where people have been surrounded by it for so long they actually think it's good now.
Is he delivering a performance now? Because previously I don't think he was really delivering any lines.
Did you see how he looked at that puppy?
Yeah, I did.
And then it became a doggy.
Yeah. That was super cool. Didn't it have an eye patch?
Of course it did. Yeah.
Like, it's going to be so good. There's no way it's going to be bad.
Yeah. No. There's no chance.
Unless it's terrible.
I mean, when have they ever done poorly before?
Peace Walker could have been better.
Yep. Also Ground Zeroes.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I liked it. I had a good time with it. It definitely was the demo. It definitely was a tech demo and not much else. But it was a great tech demo.
Jamie, you excited for that Bortman 5 or whatever they're at now?
Wartman?
Batman.
Oh, Batman.
Batman, Batcar.
Batman, Batcar looks great because you have the car now. So you can drive it into buildings and then get out of it and then punch people.
With your non-lethal tires.
Oh, man.
With your rubber tires, which don't kill people. Oh,
he's using rubber tires.
Like the rest of us.
Oh, boy.
Is that the sequel to The Last of Us?
No, Troy Baker's probably in both of them.
I'm really excited for the new Uncharted.
Yeah, oh, actually being positive, yes.
That looked really good. Like, I watched, that was like a 15-minute footage thing we got, right? I watched all of that twice. Wow. Watched it again. And I very rarely, like, watch a trailer and then watch it again. And I did it with that because I was looking at everything. I'm like, look at how he looks when he's sliding down the thing. He's really sliding, isn't he? Look at that sliding.
Yeah. I love that you can finally not fight people if you don't want to.
Wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Well, you don't have to kill. You don't have to be the mass murderer that you had to be in every other one. You can just kill half of the crowd.
Yeah. I mean, still, I don't know. Maybe.
We'll see. It. I like that they're stretching the formula a little bit.
Yeah.
And that grappling hook, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grappling hook. It's like Tomb Raider. It's perfect Tomb Raider right there.
Oh, Jamie, is that not big on your radar?
Tomb Raider?
That's huge on my radar. Game of the year.
It's definitely game of the year 2015. Mm-hmm. Because there's Lara Croft in it. She's got boobies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I am really excited. I hope it comes out on PC because I'm kind of at this point, I'm just not going to buy an Xbox One. So I really hope it comes out concurrently on PC because if it doesn't, there's a chance that the day it comes out, I just go to a Best Buy and buy a whole console for like that and just feel so shitty. And I don't want that to happen.
Can we make a pact right now that if we somehow find out it's coming out on another platform, we just don't tell Jamie?
Oh, no.
It's just forcing to go through the agony of purchasing another console, and then it comes out, like, the next day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, I misunderstood. I think that we should do everything we can in our power to force Jamie to buy another console just for a shitty game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you guys are... We're all on the same page. Great.
I'm trying to think. Did I say Bloodborne earlier? I don't remember.
You did. You did say Bloodborne. Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be real good.
Yep, maybe.
Hey, and it's one of those games that's going to be out in the first half of next year.
That's true.
Those are looking increasingly uncommon.
Well, so is Metal Gear Solid by all rumored accounts, too, but I think that's too early.
Yeah. I think, February is probably not happening.
Are you guys looking forward to a bunch of ports?
Yep. Always.
Yeah.
Yep.
What are we getting next? What's it going to be?
What was the, oh yeah, Devil May Cry.
Hey, you know what I'm really looking forward to in 2015? PlayStation 4 functionality as promised to actually be delivered, like suspend mode.
No, it's too soon. You're not ready.
What happens after Katana?
Is that what the current one is called? Katana? What? I thought it was like Murasame or something. Or Masamune. Sure.
Masamune, yeah, some kind of sword. Yeah.
Yeah. They have to preserve some vestigial Japanese-ness.
They consulted Mark Cerny on the upgrade name, and he said that's not the worst choice ever, I guess.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much what's on my radar right now.
I think so too. I'm sure there's other things that'll come up.
Majora's Mask. How excited are you to play that game?
Yeah, I'm super excited about that cover art.
Yep.
It's looks probably the best thing about that game right now.
You're not excited to own it again?
No, very excited. Very excited to own it and play it. But I think that, like, in terms of new additions that I've actually heard of, that cover art is taking the cake.
They talked about streamlining, which I'm sure they will do tastefully.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because they did it pretty tastefully with Wind Waker. So.
Yeah.
I am actually excited to see what they do with this new Silent Hill.
I'm excited for it, too. Yeah. I think if anyone could do something cool with it, it'll probably be Kojima.
Yeah.
He's weird.
Yeah.
Other than the original creator, of course. But.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think that ends it. Unless anybody has any final thoughts for next year or for this year.
Dragons.
Hopefully
perfect.
Next year I will be less tired at night and can stay up longer.
Whatever, man.
And sleep less.
Sleep less. Never sleep. Never sleep. It's the only way to play all the games.
Okay, great.
All right. And that's it. Thanks for listening to this Boss Bell Radio Game of the Year discussion categories. I'm Griff Hoffman. Jeff Brewer.
Up.
James Scherer.
Bye.
Woo!
See you guys next year.
The flip side.